Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. So Elon Musk has officially terminated the Twitter buyout. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. It's all over. Your hopes and dreams, your savior. He has not come through for you. But some people are arguing that Elon Musk's latest move, canceling the deal, is actually 4D chess. We've actually known for some time, it's been widely speculated, I should say, that Elon was trying to get a better deal, better bang for his buck. This could be him challenging Twitter, arguing that it's a breach of contract because of the spam bots. But the CEO, Parag Agrawal, already said he's going to war to make sure this deal happens. Elon backs out. Now a lot of people are like, oh, Elon can't do that because then he'll get sued and he owes $1 billion. That's not how it works. Here's how it works. Twitter can go to war. They can go to the courts and they can try and force Elon Musk to pay out $1 billion or buy the company. Or they can go to him and settle. And this means Elon Musk could get a settlement agreement. That is him offering to buy the company at a lower amount. So we will see. In other news, Joe Biden accidentally read teleprompter instructions and the media is trying to claim it was not a mistake. And the White House has come out and said, no, it was completely legit. And they've done this before. They are gaslighting us. The sad thing is, you and I, obviously we don't fall for it, but so many people do. So it's a Friday night. We have all that to talk about. And then obviously you guys know the very, very serious news. Yo, the assassination of Shinzo Abe, the longest serving prime minister in Japan. Very popular. We have the media already smearing him right when the dude dies. Brutal, man. I can't stand the press. So we'll talk about all of that. Before we get started, my friends, head over to timcast.com and become a member to support our work. We have a bunch of new shows we're going to be launching soon. A lot of conversations, a lot of production stuff. And well, we're going to launch new shows so that you as members will have a ton of new content, a more bang for your buck. But for those of you that want to just support our efforts in building culture and making the content, becoming a member is the best way to do it. You'll also get access to the Timcast IRL after hours show. We're actually going to be like renaming things, making it easier to navigate, making it easier to sign up in the first place. So we're probably going to give the after show we do a show and probably call it IRL after show or something like that. Tales from the Inverted World, we are expanding. We're quadrupling the length of episodes, making it an exclusive for the website. And we've got a couple other shows. We're talking self-help with a psychologist. We're talking potential shows on survival, all this really awesome stuff. And it's thanks to all of you who are members. So go to timcast.com, sign up, smash the like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. And without further ado, joining us today to discuss all of this and more is the one and only Hotep Jesus.
Hey, what's up, man? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, how's it going? Who are you?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic, man. I've been on fire for the past. This whole year has been a great year for me. Things are going really well. I'm doing great, man.
What do you do for those that aren't familiar with your work?
I don't do anything. I just try to,
you don't do anything.
I don't do anything.
Mind my own business.
I just mind my own business, you know. Now you got a YouTube channel, right? And, I give my thoughts on matters that are happening across America. I try not to do the whole international thing because it's not my country. You know, I stick to, you know, my backyard, and I talk about, you know, my observations. What do I see? And maybe a couple of solutions. You know, for example, women, mandating the hijab for women this summer, I think would be a good start. And other crazy ideas.
I tweeted, I said, is going to get me in trouble.
Oh boy.
I said on Twitter, the good thing is that when the guns, the good thing is when the guns are finally banned, the women won't be able to fight back against the fascists. Or the handmaidens won't be able to fight back against the fascists. And so they'll be I'll just leave it there.
Oh, no. Anyway.
Well, you know what happens with Handmaidens, so I was making a spicy joke. It's on Twitter. I'm surprised I don't get banned for half this stuff. But we'll maybe talk about it. We also have joining us, once again, is Mary Morgan.
You do. I'm back. Yeah. I'm Mary. I co-host Pop Culture Crisis. We're a live show on YouTube. We talk about more lighthearted topics, celebrity drama, movies, all the entertainment news. So I strongly encourage you to go subscribe. And we're going live again on Monday. You can shoot money at us with your super chats.
Yeah, when you when you super chat Pop Culture Crisis, there are money guns that fire money
at you. Very distracting.
And then, yeah, it's meant to be like silly and fun. And then there's like, if too much money is given, then they go crazy and fire for like 30 seconds or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, yeah, and there's like sirens go off.
Oh, that's amazing.
Crisis party.
Silly,
yeah.
Silly parties.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, we got Ian.
I'm jealous.
Hi, everyone. We were listening to Guns N' Roses before the show and then flipped over to Audio Slave. I feel like I'm in my element, man.
Mm. Audio Slave.
It was like getting a good massage. Yeah, mental massage. You listen to Slash on the lead guitar. It just takes me back to being like 13 years old, hanging out with my friends and realizing what music can actually be. Like I mentioned to you, it's like a drug. Like it can affect your body physiologically like a drug.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, yeah. It happened to me once.
Tell me about it.
I was working in the mortgage industry, and me and my boss weren't getting along too long. And I was playing Eminem's first album, I Wish I Had a Behind Big Enough for the Whole World to Kiss. And I was playing that song on repeat the whole way to work. Well, when I got to work, let's just say I wasn't me. I was somebody different, and I almost got fired.
Oh, boy.
So, yes, music can, yes. Oh, I was like, wait, no more Eminem before work. I got to choose something, maybe some church music or something.
Yeah. We were listening to that too.
Yeah, listen to that as well.
But, Gloria in Excelsis Deo.
Yeah, all the beautiful music. Yeah. Yeah, I was telling Tim that is one of my, that Guns N' Roses song we were listening to, Sweet Child of Mine, was one of my faves. Today I got my first spot on terrestrial radio with Wilfred Riley. He was hosting a show for one of his good friends in the southeastern area, and I got a few segments in for him. It was a lot of fun. We were talking about Hunter Biden. We talked about all the stuff we typically talk about on this show, and I had a great time. Mm. Not sure if you can find that online, but it was a good time. Really recommend following Wilfred if you don't already at WildeBeast630 on Twitter.
Super cool.
Speaking of music and Hunter Biden,
yeah.
I think he should listen to Biggie's second album. There's one on there called The Ten Crack Commandments.
Oh, boy. He would know all about that.
Benefit from that.
Yeah. All right, well, let's jump into this first story. We got this from the Daily Mail. Elon Musk tells Twitter he is terminating his $44 billion takeover because the company misled him on the number of spam bots on site as stocks plunge 6%. I just got to say, Elon Musk is right. Look. When Twitter came out and said it was like, what did they say, 5% or something?
Yeah.
A whole bunch of, there were several different independent assessments that they were like, no way, that's way wrong.
Oh, and it's then, way off.
5% is like the number of real accounts.
Right.
No, I saw a tweet that I think was from Paul Scalise that was saying there's like at most 100,000 people on Twitter.
Honestly,
maybe true.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe several million, maybe tens of millions, but not hundreds of millions. I think it's all one big.
I'd go with
host.
Tens of millions.
Tens of millions.
Yeah.
And you know what makes me think so? Donald Trump on Truth Social has 3.4 million.
Mm.
And you look at the engagement, it's comparable.
Mm.
He posts a truth and he gets, you know, thousands of comments. Mm-hmm. It was the same when he was on Twitter. I'm like, how could it be the engagement stays the same, but the total following count is way lower? Mm. Most people don't care.
Mm.
Now the question is Elon Musk playing 4D chess?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause look, he's got a contract, right? He can't just back out.
Right.
People don't get this. I see these lefties posting like, oh, Elon's going to have to pay $1 billion now. And I'm like, oh, 'cause that's how lawsuits work, right? These people have clearly never dealt with the legal system.
Mm-hmm.
Someone could smash into your car and it could be their fault and you could be in court for years trying to figure that stuff out. So what usually happens is your lawyer says, just settle with him. It's so much easier. Make it go away. The judges often will tell you, find a settlement agreement. So I've had to deal with this stuff. The judge will say, yeah, we can go to court. We can litigate all this stuff. I'm instructing you to attempt a settlement first.
Hmm.
So what I think is going to happen, for one, let's just be simple. Don't get your hopes up. Elon might just be backing out.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he wasn't serious. Or maybe.
From the start.
What was that?
I knew it from the start. I had a bad feeling about it.
Yes, yeah. But maybe. We've been hearing for months that Elon wanted a better offer, a better deal.
Yeah.
Because the stock had been going down for Twitter, so it was like it was worth less and less and less.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably went to his financiers and they were like, "You can get it cheaper.
Mm.
Just let it stew. The stock's gonna drop because of the market. You can back away, and Twitter will still save money by just agreeing to lower terms as opposed to going to court and trying to win $1 billion from you.
Mm.
So that could be it. Because the CEO said he's going to war to make sure this deal goes through.
Mm.
We had a Will Chamberlain tweeted that Elon's going to buy this whether he wants to or not.
Mm.
Yeah, I was referencing that same tweet by Will. He specified that Twitter would likely argue that, one, Elon wasn't entitled to the information he wanted, which was like how many bots are on the platform. He wasn't entitled. And number two, that if he was entitled, the failure to provide the information was not a material breach because the information isn't relevant to any of the reps or warranties in the agreement. This is from Will Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what makes me think it's potentially 4D chess.
Mm.
I don't want to come out and be like, oh, Elon's so smart, he's going to get them. Nah, the dude may have just screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, but there's no way Elon, he planned this out, right? Mm. He released it on what, 420?
Mm-hmm.
Like this dude was like calculating what he was doing.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
Do you think he's always playing the long game? I think people are comforted by thinking Elon has a plan.
You don't become Elon's a billionaire without playing a long game.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just that. It's not hard to play the long game.
Right.
Like we here at Timcast, we're playing the long game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I've got my vision board that every day we wake up and Ian and I will put pictures of celebrities
so
on.
So cute.
I'm kidding. No, but you know, we have a generalized thought process of like, today we do this, and if this works, the next day we do this, and if this works, the next day we do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to imagine when he was negotiating this contract, he had lawyers. Like he thought about what could happen. And this is not out of the question. This is one of these scenarios he should have expected to occur. So I think whether he buys it or not, I think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my trouble is with the headline. I don't want to say it's misleading, but it's really missing the real problem with the deal. And we've all experienced this. When the whole Elon situation was announced, did you get a huge explosion in engagement?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, so
and the left and celebrities lost a ton of engagement.
Mm.
It was crazy.
Mm.
It was the day after the deal was finalized.
Right.
All of a sudden, prominent left-wing accounts lost tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of followers.
Mm.
And people associated with the right, libertarians, or you know, the politically homeless, what do they call it, post-liberal?
Yeah.
Saw huge gains. I gained 100,000 followers in 3 days.
Mm.
People were getting unbanned.
Right.
Something crazy happened.
Yeah. So my theory is the employees abandoned the project. And that's in part of the deal was, as any with merger, right, you have to keep your staff on staff, right? Because otherwise you're buying the company. The staff is a huge part of it. These are the people that run the thing every day, right? So I'm looking at the situation and I'm like, maybe that's the big problem. I don't think it's the bots. Like, I think Elon understands the bot game. And I don't think that's a deal breaker. Like, you know there's bots when you're dealing with social media, right?
Mm.
I think it's the employees, because so many employees had a mass exodus. And then, I don't know what happened, but I think they turned the algorithm back on because the engagement dropped again for us.
Yep.
But I think whoever it is up there, they're like, okay, Elon's going to buy this thing. Let's hide the algo, right?
Right.
And then like the deal's off and it's like, all right, turn the algo back on. And I think what you're saying attributes to that is like the left, huge amount of engagement, everybody else, engagement drops, right? And so the algo favors that left wing opinion, I'm guessing. But that's what I think the deal really came
out of. What if it's actually a bit more nefarious, get a little conspiratorial? What if Elon fully intended to buy the platform?
Mm-hmm.
And then we've talked about this before. Alex Berenson, who was banned, you know him?
Mm-mm.
He was covering a ton of the vaccine stuff, and he got
skeptical.
He got banned.
Mm-hmm.
Filed a lawsuit, won, and was reinstated.
Mm.
And he said he's investigating government involvement in Twitter censorship.
Mm.
What if Elon was like, "Hey, I'm going to buy this platform, guys," and then he goes, shows up to the meeting, and then Twitter says, "As part of our disclosure process, here's our national security letter." And he went, "Oh, crap!"
Mm.
And you can't say anything about it
because
you got an NDA.
Yeah,
and now he's like, "I don't want to buy this."
Right. Well, look at what Jack was saying when he was telling people about dealing with boards and all of that type of situations, dealing with VCs. There's a lot Jack was saying between the lines you kind of had to read. When I don't know if you watched it, but he was arguing with some people.
Is there Jack Dorsey?
Jack Dorsey, yeah. He's arguing with some people in the threads, and he was kind of saying like there's some shaky things going on with Twitter.
With the Twitter and the government?
He didn't allude to the government. You know, I would say it's more like NGOs.
Lizard people.
Something more realistic like that.
Yeah, more realistic. Elon shows up to the meeting and he's like, okay, so can we finalize these contracts? And they're like, yes, but 1 minute. Zorthon.
Elon, we control Twitter.
Or actually,
worse
I'm
than
sorry.
Getting sworn in as the president.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said Zorthon. He goes, Hillary. Aha, that's a joke. That's funny.
Let's talk about the money. Is Twitter a good investment? To me, I don't see Twitter as being a good money play. I think it's a good power play, right? Because now you control this medium of conversation. But to me, I didn't see it as a money play. Like, I wouldn't pay $44 billion for Twitter. That seems like overvaluation.
I think he maybe walked into a trap.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, by the way, the reason we do all this is because we have a national security letter and the government's got their gun to our back. And now you bought it. It's on you.
It's on you, yeah.
And he's like, ah, crap.
Yeah, I think this is a very powerful tool. Twitter is a very powerful tool. I don't know how you monetize it. But he was talking about a rumor. I don't know if you guys saw this. He wanted to turn it into like the WeChat of America, where he wanted all the payment systems and everything.
Oh, right.
You guys agree with that? That's not
Oh, I don't know
scary.
About what's WeChat, firstly?
Well, in China, like...
You have WeChat, right?
I do have WeChat. I mostly made it as a joke, but I took it off my phone when I saw that my phone was browsing phishing sites for like 10 hours.
What? Wait,
yeah,
what?
Like, yeah.
You got hacked or something?
I mean, I don't know that if that means I was hacked. WeChat it stopped after I deleted it. So right, what are then. You supposed to conclude from that?
What is WeChat?
It's one of the big Chinese social media platforms beyond Weibo, right? That's the other one that's like the equivalent of Facebook.
Yeah.
And this one is sort of like WhatsApp. You have to get endorsed or recommended by another user who already has an account. So I had to like reach out to somebody that I knew who knew someone who had it to give me like a voucher to get on the platform. It's like very exclusive and they don't want Westerners on it.
Mm.
They're owned by Tencent. I imagine it's just basically the CCP. So it's just a company, a Chinese company that's beholden.
And they really only want Chinese citizens on it.
Okay.
Ideally.
But like, so. Like your
I made
all
it
your
as a joke to be like, you can find me on WeChat, like as a joke.
That's hilarious, by the way. That's hilarious. But everything's on there, right? Like you pay, I guess, your mortgage through this thing.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. All your payments, ATM, I don't know. Don't get me to lying. But if you.
All I saw is like the most basic functions, like posting a picture, posting something that looks like a tweet.
Yeah, but if you're a Chinese citizen, like everything goes through WeChat.
I'm sure
you can't
lot
survive in China without WeChat or something
so
like that.
So you're
like,
saying.
Kind of like Facebook in a sense?
Yeah, there you go.
But I guess Facebook really
lost. If you
use
Facebook to pay your mortgage.
Right. So you're talking about turning it into a payment system, like a payment services platform. That's true because the metaverse is blending social media and payment services as well as like all sorts of stuff, voting services. They're trying to blend like all these things together. So it's basically your life in the digital space.
Centralization.
Yeah. I want to swipe right on that guy and send him 10 cents and that guy and send him $5 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jack Dorsey was trying to get. He's been integrating payment systems with Twitter while he was there.
Yes.
Well, he has. What does he do? Cash App.
Cash App
and Square,
and then they want Bitcoin tips, I think, too, or some wasn't Bitcoin.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah. You get tipped in Bitcoin. Yeah.
Well, look, we'll see. We'll see what happens to the Elon stuff. But it's Friday night, and I think it's time we get to the more fun story here.
Mm. More important. Yeah.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, from Newsweek. Joe Biden mocked for apparent teleprompter flub. Repeat the line. Yo, this is amazing. You ready for this one? Let's play it.
It is noteworthy that the percentage of women who registered to vote and cast a ballot is consistently higher than the percentage of the men who do so. End of quote. Repeat the line. Women are not without... Repeat the line. The men who do so. End of quote. Repeat the line.
End of quote. Repeat the line. Here's the funny thing. You ready for this? Newsweek reports... He's mocked for an apparent teleprompter flub. End of quote is not the first time he has read that.
Hmm.
Okay? And guess who fact-checked it as false? Also Newsweek.
Huh.
Amazing. Fact check. Did Joe Biden accidentally read teleprompter instruction during speech? This is from November 2021, November 24th. False. The phrase end of quote was not a teleprompter instruction accidentally read by Biden. It was part of the speech used to bookend the Walmart CEO's remark. which Biden began citing seconds earlier with the phrase to quote the Walmart CEO. How many people have you ever met who go, and I was talking to this activist who said, quote, I enjoy going to the mall to shop, end of quote.
Sometimes I'll say close quote, but that's the closest.
Or end quote.
It is, yeah. End quote. That's
but typically people would just say quote.
That's usually for like an audiobook.
Yeah, something really formal.
Yeah.
I think the reality is they put that in there as instructions.
Right.
And repeat the line because they're supposed to pull it back, and then Biden just Ron Burgundy's but it.
At the very least, it's not the phrase end of quote that's in contention. It's the phrase repeat the line.
And
then he didn't do it.
And right. And he didn't do it. And a White House staffer said, he actually said, let me repeat the line.
Oh, he didn't say let
no,
me.
No, they actually tweeted. That's crazy.
That's what they said.
They're gaslighting. And you know why they do that? Because what's going to happen now is the media will say, conservatives accuse Joe Biden of X, White House says Y.
Mm-hmm.
And people who don't pay attention to the news will see that story and not the fact that Joe Biden read the prompter like Ron Burgundy.
And that they're trying not to laugh in the background. Yeah, that was the best part. How does Kamala laugh her ass
Her face changes. Look,
it does.
Let me
face changes.
Look at the
guy. It's more contempt on her face. Look at him.
Yeah, she's like,
let me pull this one up. Let's make it big.
I want to see Kamala.
It's like cringy.
Look at the guy on the right. He's trying not to laugh. Mm-hmm. Look at him.
He's like, I hope he doesn't mess this up.
I think Kamala's just like,
hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and we love our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
You think she'll write a book like My Time as the VP?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to mention. Do you know who this guy on the right is?
Rahm Emanuel, maybe?
No, that's not Rahm Emanuel.
He does kind of look like him.
I mean,
face blind.
Sort of. The guy on the right is like holding back laughing. Yeah. Kamala Harris. I can imagine what's going on in their heads. The guy on the right in his head, he's like, "Don't laugh, don't laugh, don't laugh." Kamala Harris in her mind, it's because look at her face. She's just like when you hear her talk, she just says words.
One of the replies to this was like, she says, he repeated the line because the line was there and he wanted to say it again because he needed to repeat the line. like that's how she talks.
This is why they gave him instructions that said, you do this. You do this because if you don't,
oh right, that's great. Remember that card? The word "you" is so big on the card, right?
Uh-huh. So he doesn't actually read it.
That explains it. So he had a card, and it said, "You stand up. You talk to the press. You ask." Because when you don't put that there, he actually just does exactly verbatim. Yo, this guy is not all with it.
No. Do you think he's on drugs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
I mean,
uppers.
Uppers. Yeah.
Yeah.
This dude's probably on so much meth.
Oh, I just saw a video of him from like 4 years ago.
I'm not saying he's smoking crystal. I'm saying they're giving him
Adderall
and other uppers, other meth derivatives and things like that.
Amphetamines. Yeah. Those are amphetamines.
Yeah. Adderall's not meth. It's different amphetamines, but some kind of, okay, I shouldn't say meth. Some kind of amphetamine, I'll say that.
But it's funnier to say meth.
I mean, honestly.
It's funnier to think that he's just like smoking father, like son. The crystal.
He's got the blue stuff from the Walter White.
They was giving him the good stuff during
that
the debates.
Oh, yeah. Damn. They would have him sleep for 20 hours and wake up right before.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would give him an IV drip of some real legit upper.
He's just on another planet.
Yeah, dude. His eyes were like, his pupils were dilating. He's like, I can see everything.
Were his eyes bleeding a few times too?
Yes.
It's like terrifying. And then pair that with his like Cheshire cat smile.
Yeah, remember when his eye popped on stage?
Dude.
Yeah, like a blood vessel or something crazy. Was that, you think that was drug induced? Because I've never seen it happen before since.
Well,
stress, maybe just stress.
It can be a lot of things.
But drugs can induce stress as well.
You know what I think it really was? Like, because it had popped before he went out on stage, right?
I'm not
sure.
No,
I think it popped on stage.
You sure?
I think so.
Because I was going to say he was probably making a boom boom and he's an old man, so he was like, let
it happen.
You know?
That's terrible.
You guys watched the new White House.
Didn't he poo his pants in front of the Pope or something?
that's
a story.
Okay, yeah, I heard that.
Is that confirmed?
That's
fact check.
I'm gonna Google search this.
Let's fact check that.
It was weird that they wouldn't record that meeting.
Poopy Pants Biden by Omar Shabazz.
Oh, good. It's a song.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Okay, here we go. You guys, we got it. Snopes has got the truth.
Okay.
Did Biden poop his pants in Rome? Another president, another pants pooping rumor.
Oh, boy.
False. Well, hold on there a minute.
There was a rumor that Trump did the same?
What the heck?
There was a rumor that Trump hired women of the night to relieve themselves on a bed.
That's a little
bit. I mean, yeah.
But right. Snopes is funny, like, when they do the fact check. It's like, yes, there were traces of feces in his underwear, but it wasn't a full poop. So therefore, false.
Yeah. Right, that's what they do.
Like, what?
They say an actual rumor is not a fact. Oh, okay.
Oh, that explains it.
So look at this. He says there's no evidence to his claim. The claim wasn't derived from photos or Biden. The story was that Joe Biden was apparently having some meeting and then mysteriously went absent for a short amount of time and then came back wearing some other clothes or something. I don't know. And then everyone's like, he pooped his pants! And I'm like, I agree. I don't know if he actually did.
Remember the pissy kid used to come to school with an extra pair of pants?
Yeah.
When he's like,
yeah.
In like kindergarten.
Biden
needs an extra
pair of
pants.
Bro had to clean himself up.
I've been watching the secretary, what is her job? The woman,
a press secretary?
Yeah, the press secretary. She speaks for him, this new girl. And she says, a lot. I want to get ahead
on
this one.
What is her name?
I don't know. What
the new black lady.
Yeah, what's her name?
I only remember redhead.
Yeah.
That was Jen Psaki.
Yeah. She was insufferable.
She just keeps, this woman, Kareen is her name?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I want to point out that she says way too much.
Does she?
Yeah.
She says
disturbing things
that just aren't true way too much. And she also says, I don't know way too much. Mm. Oh, what about Hunter Biden's laptop? I have no idea. You got to talk to Hunter Biden's lawyer.
Got to talk to the White House about that.
It's break.
But Jen Psaki would say, we're going to circle back to that.
Right. She was way better.
They don't circle back.
Yeah.
Well, Psaki had more experience. You know, when you're like a well-seasoned communist, like lying just right, comes with the territory.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Well, it's like when you look into their eyes, you don't see a soul.
Mm.
And it's just they're programmed. They can say whatever they need to with a straight face.
Shark eyes.
Yeah. I mean, just the blatant lying that the left conducts is just egregious.
Oh, remember when Jack Posobiec got punched?
Yes.
And then the cops walked up, having witnessed it, and that fat Antifa woman goes, nothing happened.
Yeah.
It's just like those eyes, dude, those evil, lying eyes.
Yeah. There's not a trace that they're doubting what they're saying. Like, they really are believing
it.
No, they know they're lying. She was like smirking like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anything. And the cops were like, yeah, we witnessed it. We're arresting.
Like lying is good if you're lying against an evil entity like the Nazis. Where are you hiding the Jews? And you're like, I don't have any Jews in this house, but you are hiding people that you're saving.
Mm.
You're a liar, but you're doing it. So these people probably are justifying it.
Well, that's what Saul Alinsky says, right? The ends justify the means.
Some people believe all lying is unethical.
Yeah.
Regardless of consequences or circumstances.
I don't know.
Maybe Jordan Peterson?
Like, what if, you know, like...
I'd like to have that discussion
shots fired. Like, what if your kid is like, you know, mom, am I attractive? What's the mom going to say? Yo, you're ugly.
I did that once to my kid, no. Man.
Oh, how was it?
It was terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
He came to me. He said he drew, like, this picture. And he's a young boy. And he was like 7 or 8 at the time. He said, Dad, what do you think of this picture? And I asked him. I said, do you want to know the truth of what I think? And he looked me in the eye. He said, yeah, I want to know the truth. I said, bro, that shit is ugly.
Oh, man.
And he started breaking down crying. I'm like, I'm such an idiot. I am so stupid. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
I was supposed to lie. Duh.
Did you like give him specific criticisms? Like, that nose is too big?
No, after he started crying, I was like, man, I'm just playing, bro. That shit is dope.
You know, no, but you don't... Like, if it's a little kid and they're trying, you know, you don't got to say that's terrible. You just be like, you're doing really well. You need to improve.
But the way he said it was like he wanted constructive feedback, right? Like,
it's trash.
Damn it.
I was hanging out with three grown adults, and we were having a conversation about grown folk stuff. And I said, can I provide some criticism? And he says, we don't use the word criticism here. It's called constructive feedback. So, you know, you're definitely dealing with some Democrat liberals.
They have to make it as verbose as possible.
Yeah.
As if it, like, softens the offense.
So what do you think is the best thing with a kid that wants the truth? Like, are you like, well, I don't like it, but let me tell you why. This line's a little crooked. You could do this a little straighter. You have a lot of good – and then give him a compliment sandwich –
I don't know if kids understand the complexities of that, though.
Yeah, no, you just say, you know what? You're on your way to great art.
Awesome.
You're going to be awesome. This is a great start. You just got to go with that. You know, we're still honest, but it's not saying.
Right. You know, or you can mix it up a little bit and be like, you're on your way to being really, really great. You keep working at this. You're going to be fantastic. Yeah. But the honest truth is you're no Rembrandt.
Right.
Not yet.
Yeah.
So, but you got to keep working.
That's pretty harsh.
Yeah. That is pretty harsh, but.
You're no Rembrandt. No, I'd say it's more of a Manet, not Monet. You're close. And then if your kid actually knows anything about art, they're like, oh,
right.
How dare you?
You're more of a Picasso. You know, Picasso
you're more
stuff
of a
is
Jackson
like really
Pollock.
Ugly. Just like, you're the next Picasso.
That's what you can do. You can be like, he's a famous artist, you know, with Jackson Pollock, right? So when your son draws trash, you can just be like, well, you know, some people like it.
So the press secretary is treating us like a little kid that she doesn't want to make start crying by being like, the economy's in shambles. And we're like, oh, so she's like, it's great. The economy's fantastic. You're doing great. You're going to be fine.
I don't know.
That's what they were lying about. The whole Ukraine. I'm going not allowed to say that here on YouTube, but the whole gas, right? Like, oh, gas prices are low because Putin. And it's just like, what? Like,
gas prices are high because of Putin.
Right. Gas prices are high because of Putin, right. They're low in Russia. But.
Right.
But they lied about that, right? Like, and then they used Brittany Griner as a political pawn and said she's locked up because Putin. It's like, no, she's locked up because she broke a law.
just stop and think about how amazing this is. Gas prices are skyrocketing.
Mm-hmm.
People are complaining about gas prices going up.
Yeah.
Then one day Putin invades Ukraine and Biden goes, oh, those gas prices? It's Putin. And all these Democrats go, oh, that explains it. And we're like, dude, that just happened. The price of gas was already up.
Right.
And they're like, no, it's Putin. It's like, okay, man.
Yeah, everybody was looking for the villain. They're like, who's the villain? Who's the villain? Something bad. Who's the villain? There's got to be a villain because of this.
This is what I imagine. That fat Antifa woman, when Jack Posobiec got punched and she looks at him, she's like, I didn't see anything. And it's like she got that smirk on her face. Remember when that Strzok guy, whatever his name is, Peter Strzok, and he's testifying and he has that thing with his eyes, and Christine Blasey Ford does it too.
What?
These people like envision themselves as
demon
like G.I. Joe villains.
That's what it looks like.
Like it's like you're acting like you're evil, dude.
Do they believe they're on the side of good though?
I don't know. Maybe they think they're villains.
The guy that said that we need to protect the liberal world order. It was pretty much like, I think he thinks he's on the side of good, but that the side of good is the liberal world, is like global military American dominance.
So that means his boss has completely got him conditioned and brainwashed. He's like literally creme de la creme of the sheep.
But I'm wondering these days, like, you know, the liberal world order, you're familiar for the century. Do you know much about?
No.
It's like in 1946, they built it after World War II. They're like, we can never have another world war. We need to set up military bases around the world. Mm. We're going to use the American military as the forefront. We're going to use the American economy. And it's like a global, military industrial complex, basically. Yeah. So now they called it the New World Order. George Bush Sr. was like, we're going to set up a new world order. And they're talking about improving this liberal world order.
Mm.
And it's basically there's this or there's like the Chinese world order, which is BRICS.
Mm.
Brazil, Russia, China, India, South Africa. So it's like we're going to have one world order or another. I mean, we might be able to resist and have like a decentralized union, which is ideal in my opinion. But right now we have these competing world orders, and it's like, do we support the liberal one or do we just allow?
I wrote a book on a world order. Okay. It's called The Patriot Report, Unmasking the Conspiracy of Money and War. And there was this funny part in my book about the Bretton Woods Agreement and how they were able to convince the United States to be, the reserve currency for these nations. And that was pretty, eye-opening, studying the Bretton Woods Agreement and Keynes and how they put this together and then how that led into, I would call hyperinflation of the dollar. I think that's 1971 that happens when the Bretton Woods Agreement basically dissolves. But that, when I looked at the Bretton Woods Agreement, like, I think that was 1944, Bretton Woods Agreement. Somebody got to look that up. Don't get me the line, but it lines up with what you said, like that whole world order around that same time period. So now when you say it, I'm like, maybe there's some connectedness there.
It's falling apart.
1944, yeah.
It was 44?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
When Epstein is mainstream, like the whole Epstein story, when Maxwell's being publicly sentenced, they won't reveal the client list. When the Georgia Guidestones are blown up, when they're shooting at farmers, Meanwhile, there's a food shortage coming. You know, the narrative is collapsing.
I understand the hatred of the patriarchy that, like, oh, we've got these old Roman guys basically trying to own everyone through religion and through, you know, whatever, God is a man, all this nonsense. But, like, it doesn't mean that just destroying it is the way to go, because there's much worse things out there as well. We got to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Chinese communism is very dangerous. The CCP is very dangerous. The citizens are, like, on lockdown 24. They're like...
Well, let's talk a little bit about this. This is the story from NPR. Shinzo Abe, killed at 67, leaves a storied legacy as Japan's longest serving premier. Mm-hmm. So for those that didn't see the story, I mean, it's been a crazy week, right? Yeah. I know the Large Hadron Collider just fired up, but man, already?
Insane.
Yeah. It's crazy been insane week. As soon as that thing opened.
And it's been a crazy past month or so, but so Shinzo Abe in Japan, he's the longest serving prime minister. Mm-hmm. He's very popular and he was shot in the back.
Mm.
Cowardly assassination. The dude had a homemade shotgun. So, you know, people talk about how he opposed China. Mm-hmm. He was conservative. He opposed communism. And so many are wondering, what was the motivation for taking him out? Could it be that Japan was leading the cause against China in Southeast Asia? You look at what Joe Biden's doing with his son. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden was taking oil out of the Strategic Reserve, and about 1 million barrels were given to China through a company called, what is it? Do you remember what it's called?
No,
Gazprom?
I don't.
No.
UNESCO?
UNESCO? No,
not UNESCO.
Sonopec or whatever. I can't remember the name.
Okay.
No, I can't. Sorry.
We could pull it up, but, you have to wonder, you know, his son's involved in these companies,
mm-hmm.
had apparently invested something through private equity. It really does look like they're trying to give or hoard wealth and bring it to China. You look at what happens to Shinzo Abe, I think they're not going to win.
Mm.
When these actions are overt and in the public and it's no longer a conspiracy theory, it looks like the liberal world order, their global agenda is failing.
Mm-hmm.
They are desperately trying to stop the holes. They're bursting in the hole, but they can't do it.
Do you think that the people like the global banking establishment, for instance, like the Bank for International Settlements in Switzerland, is it intentionally moving the wealth and power away from the liberal world order, I got to get this right, liberal world order into BRICS, the Chinese world order, and it's intentional? And that's why they're happy to see all this hatred of the liberal world order, but they're still using the American government as pawns to try and act like we're defending it.
Mm. Mm. Well, that's a good point. I mean, this
UNIPAC.
UNIPAC
was the Chinese company.
Close enough.
And it was associated with Sinopec is the parent company of which Hunter Biden is tied to.
Mm.
In 2015, a private equity firm he co-founded bought a $1.7 billion stake in Sinopec Marketing. So I just think Joe Biden's gutting and selling out the system, and I think a lot of it is they're trying to transfer wealth to China.
Who invested? You said that
transfer wealth to China.
Biden's son invested in Sinopec?
Hunter Biden is tied to Sinopec through a private equity firm he co-founded, which bought $1.7 billion stake in Sinopec Marketing.
Okay, the president's son is investing in China, in the communist Chinese oil companies. This is freakish.
Joe Biden,
his company is doing it.
And Joe Biden took our oil and sent it their way.
Oh, look, we're not enemies at every turn. I get that. But like at some point, put the cards on the table.
Well,
when you sit in the position of power, it gives you opportunity to make a fortune for yourselves. And I think that, you know, especially when you use these terms like liberal world order, these people don't have an allegiance to America or United States per se, right? They have an allegiance to their club, to their families, right? We weren't invited out to, what's the club that they just went out there in Switzerland?
Davos?
Oh, Davos. We weren't invited to Davos, right? So I think it's that club. And then when we start saying like, you know, moving money into China, it could be a little bit of hedging their bets, right? Like you put a little bit of money here. I think they're trying to invest in Ukraine, right? And they're just trying to hedge their bets. My thing is, especially when I've been studying Russian history, which is quite fascinating, it seems like Russia is the one place they just can't penetrate too deeply, this world order. And they've been poking at it for a really long time, obviously going back to the Russian Revolution, et cetera, et cetera. They've been poking at this bear, you know, and then, you know, the North was allied. You know, Abe Lincoln basically owes Russia for helping him win that war, the Civil War. So, you know, I don't know, man. I look at Russia as being a key component in all of this. So when I look at this table, right, this pseudo table, you know, I guess there's America sitting at the table and there's some Chinese man sitting at the table. And I think the Russian oligarchs were kicked out the club, I guess. Right. And they're just not allowed at the table anymore. But I think Russia has always been its own thing. And I think that's the one thing they're trying to conquer. But I think there's some buddy buddy with China.
Oh, absolutely.
Because China is so their population. They've come so far in just a short amount of time. This is a backwards agrarian society at one point. Like, they were all farmers, and then they started producing shoes, and then they became a superpower and bootleg and everything. And they got a strong military, and I think we fear them. I think there's some legitimate fear there.
I think everything we're seeing or across respect. The board is just the liberal world order has fallen. Mm. They've lost control. They lost control in 2016.
What is this liberal world order?
It's a collection of international interests, mm-hmm. political leaders, and corporations mm-hmm. that are working together to prevent World War III. That's the council.
To prevent World War III?
Yeah, well, through use of
is that their excuse or is that what they're really trying to do?
Henry Kissinger talked a lot about limited war. And the idea was we would set up proxy wars rather than say that there's some Russian aggression, communist.
Oh, let's see what you're saying.
Rather than bomb Moscow, we'd just have war with them in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And we could blow up all our weapons and then, you know, Raytheon can make a crap load of money.
Yes.
Still. And we can keep the power moving, keep the bombs building, but without having to destroy each other.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah.
You can pull up the Council on Foreign Relations and they break down what is the liberal world order or the liberal economic world order.
That's interesting.
So when George W. Bush or anyone else says a new world order, they're talking about something evolving from the liberal world order, something else.
Mm.
The funny thing is, this was a conspiracy theory 10 years ago.
Right. And now it's just public information.
Yeah, it's kind of
now Biden's advisors going on TV and saying it.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's falling apart. They needed to rule from the shadows, call you crazy if you criticize them. Mm-hmm. They can't anymore.
Mm.
Now it's just the truth.
I think the new world order that they're trying to do is, I don't know if it's the metaverse, if it's like Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum, that the governments cannot control themselves, they need corporations to control them.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
They need the corporation.
It is, and he's wearing his like Sith outfit.
Weird.
Have you seen
outfit.
that cloak he wears?
That's a new world order that could be established. But I don't like the idea of people being like digital slaves, getting their body heat harvested.
As long as you're in charge, you know, like one of the five people controlling big tech Silicon Valley, everyone else, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Well, why are we talking about it like the world order that takes power next is the last one? We've had many world orders, right? Many dynasties, empires.
Nope, just one.
Which one is that?
Just one. Just I don't know, Biden.
Just Biden?
Just Biden.
Just Globo Homo?
Biden has been the in charge of it all since forever, actually.
Yeah. Since Atlantis.
Since Biden Atlantis. Is actually Satan.
The Biden family is, you know, what's funny is like Sun Tzu, when you are strong, appear weak, when you're weak, appear strong. Mm-hmm. Like the gag is that Joe Biden goes up on stage and then says nonsense and reads the prompter. And then he's like, and as soon as he gets backstage, he stiffens up, straightens up, says, all right, get to work, ladies, you know, everybody. And he's like, clean, fast, sharp, with it. It's like he's the 80th generation of Bidens who've been controlling the world.
The spirit of Andy Kaufman is alive and well, ladies and gentlemen. Like, this is total.
Obama, you know, criticizes him, and then behind the scenes, he's like, Joe, I'm so, you know, I had to say that because that's what they, okay, you get it. Whatever you need, sir.
I feel like it's the Roman world order was pretty predominant, and then they made the Catholic Church to kind of, they're like, well, if we can't govern them with our emperor anymore, we're going to govern their minds with our religion. And
well, I would agree with that. I just want to add to that. I think it's sort of reverse order. I think people were first ruled by religion, and then later on it was, I guess, nationality is
what. When was that?
When what?
Like when nation states came to be?
Well, you had the Islamic world, right? The Islamic world was a huge superpower. And
that's ancient as well. I mean, they kind of, in a way.
Well, it depends on what you would define as ancient. I mean,
50 years old.
It's 50 years old. Yeah, if you would say 50 years old, then yeah, like, you know, but
all the 50
like Ottoman Empire, for example, like Ottoman Empire doesn't fall until, I guess, what is it, the late 1800s, early 1900s, right?
Yeah, after World War One.
Yeah. So the Ottoman Empire is like usually Islamic, et cetera, et cetera. So they had a lot of power. In fact, the, you know, if you read this book by Chancellor William called Destruction of African Civilization, there's if I'm not misquoting him, but there's a part in there that basically says Islam is the reason why African civilizations fell. And it's pretty interesting what his theory is on that. I can explain if you want.
But yeah. You have an elevator version, elevator pitch version?
Yeah, yeah. Basically what he says is the missionaries of the caliphate sit on your borders. And they basically peddle the religion. But the people that are sitting on the borders of your nation are also doubling as spies and learning about your culture and your ways and so on and so forth, how things move. And then basically what happens is, you know, African is pit against African because you're now choosing, am I African or am I Islam first? And many people were choosing Islam over being African. So now you have this divided nation. And he has a lot of evidence to support it in the book. I think it's a pretty interesting theory.
The caliphate's interesting because it's not national. It's like this, its own entity. I don't know much about it. I just know that the head of the caliphate is not necessarily the head of the country.
Yeah.
And is it, when they say the nation, well, the Nation of Islam was a specific thing, right? That was like an organization that was created.
Yeah, yeah. But then you also have, then you have the church that comes down, right? So like when you go into African nations, you'll see like the white Jesus on the wall. Like I buried my grandma, I think it was last year, in Jamaica, and it was just hilarious to see a whole black congregation and then them have like a picture of white Jesus on the wall, and all I just see is like colonization. But I think nations first ruled with religion, and I think, you know, after that it kind of evolved, and the new religion is something else now.
That's crazy to me, though, because a lot of cultures have their own ethnic image of Jesus. Like, there's, we talk about it a lot, there's Japanese Jesus.
Mm, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, and we've had Seamus on talking about it, too, where he's just like, yeah, of course, every culture views him as, like, you know, as them, or whatever, and there's, like, no issue there, or whatever.
And
yeah.
Interestingly, apparitions of the Virgin Mary are often different based on the culture.
Mm.
So, Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared their ethnicity in their cultural garb, but much different from Our Lady of Lourdes, for instance, or Fatima.
Okay,
that's why I'm like, I don't see it. You know, we see these memes all the time from the left, and they're like, "Here's what Jesus really looked like," and it's like a Sephardic.
Like that's
not
the point. Obviously, there's no description of what Jesus looks like in the Bible because that wasn't the point of him being here.
I thought
here.
It was Daniel 7 verse 9 or Daniel 9 verse 7. I could be wrong.
Yeah, it said he was 6'5" with bulging muscles and blonde hair.
Like he looked like Jason Momoa.
Yeah,
So there's literally, you say there is a description of him, but you were mentioning.
Yeah, I believe
not
there
to
is.
My knowledge.
Is it? I mean, I could see that would be intentional if he had like dark skin, and they're like, we need to empower the Roman patriarchy, and we need to disempower the Jews. Let's make people think this guy's a white guy.
I disagree. I think if they wanted to control you, if the idea was about control, you would need to convince the people he's of you.
Mm.
So
the
idea would be to make a picture of a Japanese Jesus, to make a picture of an Arabic Jesus or a white Jesus so that those people would be like, oh, yeah, they're like me.
Mm.
So they gave no description. Or I want to hear what you were saying. What was it called, the section where you thought there was a description of Jesus?
Oh, yeah. Is it Daniel 7 verse 9 or Daniel 9 verse 7? I'm no biblical guy. I could be completely off, but That just popped in my mind for some reason.
I want to jump to this story real quick too. We can carry this on. Just talking about what happened to Shinzo Abe, gun control. We're also talking about religion and things like that. It just made me think of, you know, A Handmaid's Tale. And I have this tweet. I'm going to read it because I don't care if I get in trouble on, you know, YouTube or whatever. So I tweeted, the good news is that once guns are banned, the handmaidens will have no way to fight back against fascists and will be forced to carry babies for fat incels.
Mm. Wow.
So I just, you know, I thought of this because I'm on Facebook and I'm just like scrolling through it. And then I see an individual who posted two memes. The first meme was a handmaiden, and it was like the theocratic fascists are forcing women to carry babies or whatever. And the next one was like, we should ban all guns. I'm sick of this. Just ban all of them. And I'm like, who do you think will then have the guns?
Yeah.
Like, you think you're being ruled like you're in The Handmaid's Tale, and then you want the theocratic fascists to have all the guns.
Mm.
And I was like, maybe this will be like a way for you to understand why that's a bad thing.
Mm. Yeah.
What was the name of the country in Handmaid's Tale?
I've never seen it.
Read it
or anything.
I don't know. You don't know?
Some dumb.
Nobody knows. It's so stupid.
Let me hop out the window and just take a guess here. Italy.
No. It was in North America, but yeah, they changed the name of the country, and it was like women were forced to.
Oh, this is a fictional place?
Yeah.
Oh.
Lightly fictionalized.
Oh, okay. Because it looks very Catholic, the garb.
Well, that was the idea.
It looks very Puritan, not Catholic.
Yeah. Like a religion took over. Mm. And then now all these people are like, we're living in The Handmaid's Tale. Quick, give the government your guns.
The Republic of Gilead.
Gilead. That's what it was.
Bible name. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Because these people have only read two books, Harry Potter and The Handmaid's Tale.
Yep.
But as Seamus points out often, they probably didn't even read the books. They watched the adaptation.
Yep.
Mm. And this is it's a strongly patriarchal, white supremacist, totalitarian. This is at least from Wikipedia. It could be anything. Theonomic? Theocratic state? What's a theonomic state?
I guess like the economy is based on religion or something.
Oh, like the god king is on the coin and stuff.
I guess maybe. Yeah.
Maybe they're getting at something. You know, what's like really Handmaid's Tale is the fact that like pubescent girls are put on the pill at like age 12, or like surrogacy is so common.
I got it. Theonomy is hypothetical form of government ruled by Christian divine law in which non-Christians are excluded from citizenship.
No, I thought that was theocracy.
That sounds healthy, actually.
Yeah. Well, in a theocracy, I think you can be you can not practice the religion and still be a citizen.
Oh, but in a theonomy, you have to?
Apparently, yeah.
Or you're excluded.
Hypothetical, though, so maybe it's never, no one's ever existed before.
I like how there's always one book. They're like, it's 1984, and then a law changes. Now it's The Handmaid's Tale. And then
Harry Potter.
It's 1984 again.
What was Biden's executive order? Something about reproductive rights. Did you guys see?
I saw something about that. What did they say again?
He said, end of line, end of quote, repeat the line. Is what
that was the whole thing. That was the whole executive order.
It's extremely limited. Let me see if I can pull it up because we didn't have it pulled up. There's not a whole lot that he can do, but we do have the story here. If it loads,
I had some slow internet.
Timcast.com's given us the business.
I debated a Democrat congressional candidate on that topic, Roe v. Wade and the decision, and she actually capitulated at the end.
Really?
Yeah.
What was your stance? Like, what were you saying?
I just said, can we go by like the actual SCOTUS decision in the verbiage in the held section, right? I think it's Dobbs versus Jackson or whatever. And I was like, can we just read what it says and judge that decision and say, is this decision fair?
Yeah.
And she had to capitulate.
It was
after.
Fair.
Yeah. I mean, like after you tell me our history or whatever, you know, of all the bad things white people have done to black people. Right. But here's the funny thing about the debate. She said she would mandate
the jab.
Yeah. She said she would mandate.
They're fascists, bro.
But she came on the podcast saying that she was all for body autonomy with the whole Roe v. Wade situation. And I'm just like, how do you even? So I said to her,
they're not.
You just sat here and told me every reason why we can't trust white folk. And then all of a sudden, when it comes to this, all of a sudden it's like, we got to listen to them. And I'm just like,
it's because not about women's healthcare. It's about control. You got really
good. It is about control because if you look at, if Roe v. Wade was never overturned, that means that SCOTUS can weigh in on birth rights.
Let me
or keep a baby.
I just gotta say it. Yo, leftists, you're in a cult. And I'll tell you why.
Mm.
Abortion is defined by the CDC as the terminating a pregnancy in a way that does not result in a live birth. That would mean that ectopic pregnancies, these are not abortions. Planned Parenthood outright says the, I forgot what the name of, do you know what the name of the operation for an ectopic pregnancy is? It's an L, I think. It's not an abortion. It's a surgical procedure they have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a there's a bunch of stories they're talking about where it's like, one woman was like, I had a dead baby, you know, in my womb and they wouldn't take it out. And it's like, that's not an abortion.
Mm.
That's a miscarriage. Mm. And there's a name.
Salpingoscomy. Sorry.
Is that it is? Planned Parenthood even talks about this. Abortion is when you end the pregnancy and there's no live birth. So the baby is.
But so, that's the abusive language.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is these people don't understand that. So they're like, I see these memes and they go, it's not about pro-life. It's about controlling women. And it's like the Supreme Court did not ban abortion.
Yeah.
You're talking about Texas.
Yeah.
Take it up with Texas.
Right. Yeah.
But when the Supreme Court goes, we do not have the authority over the states and they cry about it. They're fascists. They're the authoritarians who want to control you and have no logic behind their morality.
The problem is the Supreme Court's acknowledging they don't have the right to decide for people.
Right.
But why would they give that power to the governors? Like a governor can decide for its entire state.
That's how the Constitution works.
Yeah. 10th Amendment says the states make their own rules. Basically what the health section says is we are, taking the authority and overturning it, or it says returning it. So if you're saying returning authority, that means they held authority.
But if they return it to the states, not to
the people.
Yeah, but not to the governor solely. Like that,
it's the legislature.
No,
how many?
But
people
the governor is
11, 17. How many?
It's the legislature.
Like how many people are in a state legislature?
They're all different. Like some have hundreds.
It depends on how they draw up their. Yeah, like every state has their own constitution. 40. And
some states are commonwealth systems. Some states are not. Some have a general. I think Nebraska. I think is a general assembly.
Mm.
And then some have representatives and senators. It's all different.
Yeah, but basically what SCOTUS is saying is. The term abortion does not exist anywhere in this document, right? Because the people that created this country weren't heathens like you anyway. But this term isn't in here. And so because it doesn't exist in here, we don't have any jurisdiction over it. What we do have jurisdiction over, however, is the Fourth Amendment. So if you want to claim that your privacy was violated by having this operation done, you can come back here and say, yo, they violated my privacy. You want to get, okay, cool. You can't do that, states. And that's a plausible argument. But you can't say I got the right to an abortion because there's nowhere in the Constitution the word abortion. You can just press Control F on it and the word just doesn't pop up. And that's all the SCOTUS document is saying. And what I think it's very deleterious for the left, especially like, I'm not going to say celebrities because celebrities don't know no better, but for the people that know better to manipulate women and make them believe that this decision banned abortion, I thought was really evil. Like there's women out here that are going to have real emotional reactions to this, right? Women are going to be crying, da, da, da. What if you break down crying in the middle of, you know, driving home, you crash? Like, you're putting people's lives at risk. Instead of saying, hey, can we teach you how to read a SCOTUS document, a SCOTUS decision, and then you can interpret this however you see fit?
You see what happens with Brett Kavanaugh at, was it Morton Steakhouse?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. They show up, he has to exit out the back, and then people started calling in fake reservations to just jam up and hurt the business.
See?
Yo, these are crazy days indeed.
But they are fascists, crazy. Like you said, right? And people throw that word around a lot.
Fascistic.
Yes.
So the reality is they're more communist.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in the sense of ideological communism. I mean it in the sense of the, like, literal communism. Fascists tend to be ultra-traditionalist authoritarian.
Yes.
So that was a general idea with what we saw in Europe. Mm-hmm. And then you had the communists. Both of them had a salute. Both of them would raise their right arm. The Nazis would do the open hand Roman salute, and the communists would do the closed fist red salute.
Mm-hmm.
Today, you can walk down the street and do the communist salute, the red salute, and nobody bats an eye.
Right.
Don't go around doing the Nazi salute, people will beat you up.
Right.
So with Europe, you had people who wanted to erase culture, like in China, for instance, the Cultural Revolution. They wanted to purge the old.
Mm.
The fascists wanted to return to tradition. These people want to purge tradition.
Mm.
They want to purge religion. They want to purge tradition. They want to create a new system. They are amoral authoritarians. So it is more in the communist vein.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely communist. But communism, and so I think communism is the mechanism with which fascism is empowered, because I define fascism as being the control of the economy, right? And communism is like the process of centralizing everything. You know, even when you look at the 10 planks of Marxism, I always talk about this. The word centralization pops up in there twice, right? Centralization of credit within the hands of state and centralization of communication, right? And we're starting to see in the United States, there is, FCC obviously exists, but there is a centralization of communication and press because it's all the same people, right? So you see that, you know, popping up in the United States, but I see communism as, I see the United States as being a communist utopia already. Like, if Marx was alive today, he'd be like, damn, y'all are good. He'd really love it. Because people don't know that they're living in a communist state. People think they're living in a capitalist state. It's like, no, the capitalism is supporting the communism.
And it's and if that, right, you look at what China's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I love the political compass that someone took it and then folded the left and the right together and put China.
Because
they're communists, but they use market forces and systems as a means of control.
Yes.
Can you dive into your explanation of the U.S. Ooh. Being communist? Like, at what level are you seeing?
I have a working theory I can give you. So United States was 13 colonies in the very beginning, and then it was somebody's idea to federate, right? And then,
well, technically, there were other British colonies. Quebec, for instance, was a British colony, and they said, no, we're not going to get involved. So it could have been 14.
Yeah. So they decided to federate and centralize power, right? All right, so let's put that aside. Then you get the Tsar in Russia is toppled, and then you get the Democratic Republic, right? And what do they call that? The Duma. And then after that, you get the Color Revolution in Germany. And then that becomes the Weimar Republic. And that's also a Democratic Republic. And the king there falls, right? So I'm looking at these commonalities, and I'm like, all right, so you have some sort of feudalist state at that point, and then communism comes in, which is basically just a revolution to centralize power, and they bring this thing to a democratic republic. And I'm looking at the United States, I'm like, United States is technically a democratic republic, and we have a centralization. And then there's the whole thing about the 10 planks of communism all being executed in the United States. But the main thing for me was the Lenin quote, 90% of communism was creating a central bank. And I wrote a book on these central banks of America, and I'm just looking at all this stuff, and I'm like, this is very communistic. So I don't view, you know, for example, when we look at something like minimum wage, is a socialist machination, right? Soviets pushed for something like that. And it's also got like racist roots as well. But when you see stuff like that in America, like minimum wage is like the first red flag that we live in a communist nation. So minimum wage is just a horrible
No fault idea. Divorce was communist, apparently, too.
Mm, really?
Yeah, 1917.
Was that you who brought that up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It was shocking. That was the first introduction of it.
Explain that.
Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba dabba do and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements, copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
Well, the idea that in any type of marriage you could just get divorced for no reason was unheard of until the communists, Lenin and his friends in 1917, overthrew the Tsar, Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they did was like, yeah, if you want to leave, yeah, destroy, you know, whatever reason, I don't know, and I very surface level understand this.
They want the state to be your family. They want you to be dependent upon the state.
This is the communist Russians were very much fascist. Like,
yes,
that's fascism is when the government controls business, essentially the collusion. And now the Federal Reserve is very much fascist. It's the collusion. Now I'm wondering, does that mean that it's communist? Not necessarily. You can have fascism without communism, I think. Or it's just the idea of fascism. Because you can say that the government doesn't own Alphabet, doesn't own Google, but man, they can make them do what they want. Twitter.
Yeah.
They can make Twitter shut their mouth. The execs, like, do stuff. That's
they can make
deeply
anyone.
Disturbing.
You can get served a national security letter. People don't understand this, man. These big media companies, you think that Elon Musk can get in Twitter and save get into Twitter and save the day. You think that I'll say this even of Timcast and the Daily Wire. If what would we do? What would you do if tomorrow the NSA, the FBI, the CIA, whoever else comes with a national security letter and says for these reasons you have to turn over your data and you can't do these things? Dare us, go against us. There have been a few companies that have chosen to shut down. There was one famous email encrypted email provider that said, we won't do it. We're shutting down our company and refusing to hand over the data, and then told everybody we were served a national security letter. But that they could you know, gulag you for that stuff.
Absolutely.
So most people, you know why you don't hear about that all that often? Because they're not going to go up against the U.S. government.
Well, they're not allowed. They get gag orders too. If you tell people that you got the order, that's also a violation of the order.
That's the point. If we got, I'll tell you this, I would shut this company down in 2 seconds if they came and tried to mandate we did anything. But this stuff happens. They'll come in and say for national security reasons that story is dead. And this I'd be like, first, hey, MFR, you ain't, and they'd be like, then you're done. And I'll be like, what you got to understand, I'll stop there and completely change the subject and say, there was a journalist who was about to break a big story on a general. And then he complained that somebody was tampering with his car. And then he got in his car and then died because the car was speeding down Wilshire Boulevard. And
like
exploded
going 90 or something.
And then rammed into a tree and blew up. So you have to wonder about stories like that. But remember that guy who was investigating the CIA in crack and then he shot himself twice in the head in a suicide? Look, you hear these stories. And the coroner's or the autopsy report comes out and it's like, yes, he was hung and then shot himself in the chest and the face in a suicide. And you're like, how could that make sense? It's not supposed to. It's supposed to be telling you, this is what happens
when
you go against us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like what you were saying, Brian, about like, that Marx would be satisfied with what we've got going on because we think we're in a capitalist society. But actually, you think you own your data if you're like a programmer. But if the government, if the CIA comes and says, you give us that, you're bound. I mean,
I gotta say,
under duress of force, you know?
I don't agree. I'll meet you halfway. Marx would be sitting down with some white liberal woman and going like, wow, you've done very good, very good. And then he turns the TV on and he sees all the woke stuff and he's like, oh, because he's racist. He's super racist.
Yeah.
So he says like, no, 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 what are you doing?
Yeah.
So he'd actually freak out.
I think there's going to be some culture shock. But like after they explain to him like how well this is working about Brink, he's going to go, okay, this is kind of genius. You've used the N-words to bring about, oh, wow, I didn't even think of that.
And
right?
You made the Chinese look like the bad guy.
And you made the Chinese look like the N-Russians.
He was like a racist rich kid, wasn't he?
Yeah. His homie was supporting him. Engels was supporting him.
He was super rich. Engels.
Yeah.
This is a good story.
He had a couple of businesses, yeah.
Friedrich Engels.
This is the problem. I think who was mentioning this before the show? I think maybe it was you, Ian, or something, that Ryan Long had a joke about how all these people, you know, that they're spoiled because they're like, why would you want to live in America?
No, it wasn't me.
Was talking about that?
I don't know. I wasn't in the room.
I think it was Ryan Long made the joke that you've got these millennials, you know, they're like spoiled first worlders as they're like, oh, America's terrible. Meanwhile, like people from Guatemala are crawling through deserts and dying in the middle of like 90-mile vast wastelands desperate to come here.
I think is it Sri Lanka where they have gasoline rationing now for emergency vehicles. People are lined up. Like, what are they, you know?
I love America, man. I think America's beautiful. Often people are like, oh, I want to leave the country on vacation. I'm like, why? I like America.
I'm down. I'm like, hey, I got an idea. Like, I've offered to send leftists to Israel.
Really?
Like, I will buy you a plane ticket. We'll go out, get you a hotel room, have you talk to people. And then they're like, but Israel, and they go on and talk about evilism and all that stuff. And then it's like, I'm not saying don't talk to the Palestinians. I get it.
Yeah.
But, bro, imagine what it must be like to be living in a house, not understanding the political, what's going on with government, not being involved in government, and the rocket blows up over your house. You want to talk about hard living? You want to complain about life in America? Wait till the rocket lands and slams into your neighbor's building and kills your neighbor's kid, and then be like, oh, life is hard in America. This is the problem with most of these activists. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to take sides in Israel, Palestine, or anything like that. I'm just saying you gotta recognize for people in Palestine when the bomb comes down, life is not easy. For people in Israel when a rocket slams into their building, life is not easy. At the very least, you can say it's way better in America in terms of safety, security, and comfort. And these people born in this country with their hipster mustaches and their man buns are complaining about how bad it is here. I would like to buy that person a ticket and bring them to Complexo do Alamau in Brazil. And let you go and see what it's like. You ever see the open air sewers in Brazil? So in the favelas, because favelas are shanty towns basically, and they just build where they build, there's a, I did an interview with a gang leader and we're standing on his little bridge. And a, the bridge was above an open air sewer where you would see PVC pipes sticking out from where the houses are and then just turds go and they just splatter. And then when it rains, it just washes it down into the ocean. And that's what you live next to.
Yeah.
And that's when you walk out your front door. That's what you're looking. You're not looking at a street. You're looking at an open air sewer system.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'd love to bring you there and talk to you about poverty, about the people who don't have running water. So what they have is they have vats on their roof. When it rains, it fills up and that's what you get to flush the toilet. So if it doesn't rain, I went to a favela. I was went to a house and I was interviewing a family and their toilet was just stacked up with crap. And I was like, can I use your bathroom? Like, it's right here. And then I'm like, it's like above the toilet. Like, how do I use it? And they were like, just pile it on. They're like, we'll flush it when we can flush it, but we don't have any water right now.
Having those water collectors is luxury. I was in in Peru in the Iquitos in the Belen district, and they were just pooping in the river, and then where all the trash was, just plastic, everything, just you could barely even see water when you look into the riverway, and then they would drink that water too. They didn't were never educated.
You know what's funny?
That's the vaccine.
I talk about how chickens are smart enough not to drink water they've crapped in, but not smart enough not to crap in their water. And then I realized, like, humans aren't even that smart. They'll crap in the water and then drink it.
Yeah, uneducated. It was ignorance. They didn't
But the
know.
Chickens don't do it. Like, so we put the water thing out and the chickens will stand over it and they just look at you and they're like all dumb and they just go like, they squat and then just crap right in the water. And then you'll watch them walk up and look at it and like look around and then walk away. Because they know, like, I can't drink that, but they don't realize they did it.
Right.
And so we make fun of them for it. And then I was watching some video about how people were in the river just crapping and then other people were scooping water out for their drinking water. And I'm like, I guess chickens are doing a little better than us.
Did you ever live fun of them. Around the world?
Anywhere? I've traveled. My family's from Jamaica. So, I've seen, real poverty. I've been to Africa, Tanzania to be exact. And Tanzania was really dope. I actually want to bring my modern life out there. But Jamaica was different. Like, even just going to my grandma's house in Jamaica was really rough. They didn't have water pressure. So, like, you turn it on and just, like, you know, drips, and you got to just shower with drips. So the water pressure, you know, depending on what time of day, who's doing what, you know, you had some water pressure. So when we went to resort, you kind of appreciate just water pressure, right? The roadways are really bad, et cetera, et cetera. But beautiful island, beautiful people, better food. The food I ate in Africa was amazing. The food I ate in Jamaica is just way more fresh than what we get here.
That's this is the crazy thing, isn't it? That you'd think going to a poorer country, you'd get worse food.
Mm-mm.
You actually get better food. It's for a very simple reason. It's simple food.
Yes.
So, like, I'm hanging out in – I went to Thailand, and it's not like Thailand's all that bad. I was in Bangkok. And I was with this dude, and he was like, you want real Thai food? And I was like, yeah. And we go into a neighborhood, very poor. And we walk into this, like, it's like the corner of the street. They just have, like, they pull up raft, like, the shutters, and then there's tables. And then she comes out with a piece of steamed chicken and steamed rice, and that was it. And he was like, this is Thai food. And I was like, it's just steamed chicken and rice. I get this anywhere. And he's like, that's what food is.
Yeah.
I went to Brazil. And when you go to the poorer areas, you know, they steak. You come to America, and what do you get? Some kind of styrofoam bun with some weird ammonia processed burger. And it's like, we're eating weird garbage, but you go to poor areas and they're like, oh, it's a steak.
It's fresh too.
Yeah.
We just killed it like 2 minutes ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cause they don't have the freezers. They don't have the transport. So it's like, you have the animal off the farm. You got to kill it, cook it, eat it.
Yeah. I always said if I was going to be homeless, I would probably move to Miami because you can just eat fresh daily, right? You catch your little fish, throw your little fire together. You got good weather.
Coconuts everywhere.
Coconuts everywhere. Coconut is amazing.
Dude, coconuts for the win.
Yeah.
Especially with the economy looking like it's I'm not giving you financial advice, but an investment in coconuts is not the worst thing you could do.
I watched a video.
Coconut water.
I watched a video where a dude took a coconut and he cut it perfectly and then pried the ends off and pulled the perfect white coconut meat with the water all in it jiggling and put it in a bowl. It was like it was a viral video. That sounds like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
When I lived in Brooklyn years ago, there was this guy who was dressed in like a safari outfit with a machete and he had fresh sugarcane, coconut, and melon.
Oh.
And he would take the thing and the machete and he would chop the coconut, pour it in, scoop the coconut meat.
Mm.
Then he would press the sugarcane right in front of you, all the sugarcane juice, and then he would throw melon and blend it up. And I was like, that is breakfast.
You ever had sugarcane juice before?
No.
Sugarcane juice? Sugarcane juice?
I chewed on sugarcane. Not quite.
Not sugar. You had sugarcane juice.
Yeah, man.
Bro.
Amazing.
Which is sugarcane juice is the best juice on the planet.
It's actually called sugar cane. That's the it's a fibrous plant.
Yeah, and then they put it in this expeller press.
Yes.
And so it gets smashed through and then all the juice just pours
and
out.
They just soak it and then smash it.
It's good.
I don't know what they do, dog. All I know is I had it twice. I want to say twice. In Jamaica, I had it regularly, but that was when I was a child, right? So I didn't remember. And then last time I was an adult, I went to Africa. I went to Tanzania and I got sugarcane juice. I said, no, you don't. He said, yes, I do. And yeah, but so you get a limited amount because, you know, he's only bring a certain amount of sugarcane with him. Man, I was drinking that stuff. It's not probably good for you because it's like pure sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the rest of the time they're having such wholesome food that it doesn't even matter.
Right.
Fresh. I want to know, do you think that I mean, where have you been in Africa?
Tanzania, just Tanzania.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe they're happier than Americans?
I'm going to tell you this. I hung out with the natives, and I was jealous. Okay? They are homeless, I guess you can say, but they ate better than me, right? Like, I sat down, and I had a fresh fish, but I probably paid $20 for it. They had the same fresh fish and they didn't pay anything for it.
They just went and got it.
They went and got it. They got in their little canoe, their boat, and they went out, they caught it, they cooked it. And I said, that's not fair. I want to live like that. But they live off the land, right?
Did you ever hear that old, there's an old, I guess you'd call it parable or story about the rich guy who's vacationing? You know, rich guy goes down to Central America and he's fishing and he sees this man who gets in his little boat and goes out and fishes, and he's watching him. The man catches a couple fish, loads them up, and leaves. And he goes, hey, you mind to ask what you're doing? And he's like, oh, I'm working for the day. I'm going to go sell the fish. And then the rich guy says, no, you're doing it all wrong. You could stay out here for another couple hours, catch twice as many fish, sell it, save up, buy a bigger boat. And the guy goes, oh, and then what do I do? And he goes, he's like, or no, I'm sorry, I'm ruining the story. But he basically says, like, what are you doing? The little guy says, you know, I caught some fish. I'm going to bring it to the market. I'm going to sell it. And for the rest of the day, I'm going to hang out with my family. We're going to play music and we're going to drink and have fun. And he's like, no, you're doing it all wrong. He says, stay there twice as long. Sell twice as many fish. Save up, buy a bigger boat. Mm. And he goes, okay, then what do I do? Then with the bigger boat, you can catch even more fish. Mm. Sell those fish. Then you get two boats. Now you got the making of a fleet.
Mm.
And he says, okay, then what? Now you got a big fleet. You sell way more fish. You set up your own processing plant. You start selling canned fish. You market all over the world. And he goes, okay, and then what? And he goes, the best part is, once you're on the top and you're the biggest, you sell the company, you make millions of dollars in profit, and that's where you need to be. And he goes, okay, but then what do I do? It's the best part. Then you come down to Central America, you go fishing for a few hours in the day, then you can go and hang out with your family and play music, have some drinks. And the joke was like, that's what the dude was doing.
Already, yeah. Like, that was my point. When I saw it, I'm like, yo, I'm pretty sure people work to have the life of the native.
To be fair, you work because you need health care. And we might envy that they're going to eat fresh meat.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. These people are going to have fresh meat.
Yeah.
Even people, I watch this documentary about people in Siberia, and it's like they're eating like walrus and stuff, and they're super ripped and healthy. And you're like, man, look at them. They got family. They have community. They laugh together. They're happy. Not like these sad people in the city. They're eating real food.
Mm.
They work for it every day, and they're having the time of their lives. Then they stub their toe, get an infection, have to cut their foot off, or they have to seek aid and get antibiotics somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
For us, we do a lot of this because you get sick, you get treatment. Here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
We're making ourselves sick from the garbage we're producing and the pollution. So it's like, find that happy medium. Maybe that story's wrong. Maybe you do want to work hard. Mm. You do want to save up some resources so you can take care of yourself and your family while you're off living a simpler life and having fresh food.
I don't know, man. Them tribes got their own witch doctor.
That's hardcore.
I'm not sure, like, cutting a hole in my head and draining blood will cure my headache.
No, you like just but they smoke salvia or something.
No, they eat the tree bark with the aspirin in it.
Mm.
So this is the crazy thing, too. Like, a lot of these holistic remedies and stuff they used to talk about, and people are like, oh, that's dumb. Just take aspirin. It's like, yo, the bark they're chewing on is the derivative of where the aspirin came
from.
Exactly. So they know a lot of stuff. And look, obviously there's a lot of herbs that have an impact. People, this is really important because people think they can drink, like, certain herbs and ingest it, and they need to realize there's chemicals that do affect you, like drugs,
yeah,
and some of these weird, you know, herbal remedies and, like, yeah, holistic things.
Absolutely.
But some people, there are people who think it's all fake nonsense, and you can, like, put the herbs in your food and eat it, and it's like, that's going to do something to you.
Yes. My question for you, Brian, is how technological do you like to be as a personal balance for yourself and your future? Like, how much tech do you want involved? Like, would you download your brain into a computer? I imagine you would have said no if I'd asked you that question. If you could transition out of the, like, how extreme involving tech? Like, obviously you have a social media presence and, you know, you're.
Would you get Neuralink in your brain?
I definitely ain't doing no damn Neuralink. Oh, no. I look at keeping up with technology as a defensive mechanism. Okay? Like, if you don't keep up with the advancement of weapons as a technology, you were conquered by the people who have more advanced weapons, right? Social media has become a weapon. So if you don't have your own social media company, how do you fight back, right? If you don't have your own VC network, who's going to invest in your technology company? So I believe that technology is the real evolution of man, right? And I think the more evolved technology gets, the less evolved humans become. We sort of devolve away from our potential. But the technology gets better and it makes our life easier, right?
So
I'm with the technology, but I'm also like, nah, I need a farm with a bunch of chickens and cows.
Is it a necessary evil then for you?
It's a necessary evil, yeah. Hmm.
What we need to do is we need to build an AI, sentient humanoid robot construct that is smart enough to start improving itself and self-replicating. That way it eventually determines it doesn't need us anymore, wipes out all organic life, and then takes over the universe.
You know who's gonna do that?
Bezos?
The octopi.
Why is that?
The octopi is the most amazing thing on this planet. I believe that if octopi lived longer than 8 months or whatever their lifespan is.
They live longer than that.
Well, they could be, like, very old.
No. But they'd have a short lifespan. And if they lived longer...
3 to 5 years.
There you go. Okay, 3 to 5 years. It's not long, right? So I believe... It might be a certain species I was thinking of. But I believe if they lived as long as humans did, we wouldn't be here. They would be the ones running this planet.
You know why they wouldn't be?
Why?
No combustion underwater. So this is the crazy thing about technology is that a lot of our capabilities, like... When you create a computer, getting the finite, a microprocessor, getting all these little tiny, you know, pathways and microchips and things like that, I don't know if it's possible in a water atmosphere, in a water environment.
Mm.
So if you find a piece of ore, right, a rock, and you can see there's iron in it, maybe other trace minerals, how do you separate them when you're underwater?
Well, what's the combustion for?
So in an oxygen environment, we can create fire. Fire then melts down minerals and separates the baser metals and stuff.
Yeah,
we can then get the metal out.
Yeah.
So an octopus, smart. They're very smart. And they have the ability to manipulate, you know, fine-tune things, but they can't make fire, so they can't manipulate elements.
Well, they can crawl on land, and they hold the water in their heads, and then eventually it'll, like, squirt out the sides. We figured out how to keep the water inside and come up when we came up on land, and then we just pee it out and drink it, and we keep the water in our bodies. If they could figure out how to store the water, and also if they could just crawl on land and light a match, I wouldn't put it past an octopus.
But they can't move the way we can in this environment.
That's definitely true.
So maybe what would happen is they would... They would go up to the edge of water and start fires on top and do their smelting in the air atmosphere and then bring the metals in to cool it and stuff like that.
I think they would. Like.
You say what?
Are they similar nervous systems?
No, they got like 9 brains and something like
what?
That. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, bro, octopi are different, what? Man.
And you think they're alien?
9 brains, you're right. Octopuses indeed have 9 brains.
Yeah.
They're so unique that it makes me, you know,
I want to see them.
There's this panspermic
theory. Most intelligent invertebrates on the planet.
Where the universe spit out like spores all across the universe and they can exist in deep space, spores. And then they hit planets and they sink into the water and then they evolve into life as we know it.
Yeah.
And the different spores can evolve into different things. I don't know if it's always got to be a spore.
I think that if aliens came here and saw us and this idea of combustion, they'd laugh at us like, you guys are using combustion. That's so rudimentary. That's so academic. We're on to, like the Chinese have the maglev, right? And I think that's where the real secret is manipulating electricity and magnetism.
The question is, how do you refine elements without using fire?
Why are you refining elements?
Because in order to make a maglev train, you need to create a long track, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to find the metals in the earth, which are randomly placed and mixed in with a whole bunch of other minerals, and you need to shape it properly.
What if I don't need a combustion to do that?
How do you shape metals? How do you extract the metals?
Sound technology.
How do you get the sound technology? How do you get sound to emit enough energy to mold together and shape metals?
So you ever seen the experiment where they play sound at a certain frequency and glass shatters?
How do they play the sound?
At a very high pitch.
But what's making the sound?
Some speaker, I guess.
What's the speaker made of?
I guess you're going to come back to some metal, right?
See, the thing is, I can take a tree, smack it together, and a fire happens.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can put a rock over that fire, and the rock melts, and I can separate the metals out. Then I can make a speaker.
You could use
volcanic. So that's what I'm saying. So, right, like the first person, right, they use fire, and then we go, okay, we don't need fire anymore because we've created enough of these tools to liquefy things using sound. So, like, fire is for people who haven't elevated to our level yet, right?
Right.
So, yeah, you used fire initially, and now that we've used fire to create these sound technologies. Now we use sound technology. We don't need the fire no more. You see what I'm saying? And then now, that was my theory on how they built the pyramids.
It's like we don't need mud huts anymore, right? You know,
right?
They're just taking wood, and it's like we don't need that. There was a point where we did, but now we're well past that. We have better technologies and things like that.
Yeah.
We don't need the sticks anymore to make the fire. Now we've got
lighters and shit.
Yeah, and also you've got plasma, you know, torches and things like that.
Right.
So we found other ways to extract heat and apply heat to mold things.
Yeah.
Like acoustic levitation. Have you studied that? Where you can vibrate something at a certain frequency, it starts to
levitate.
Like water, they'll do that in a vibrating in a field.
Yeah. That's what I think the pyramids were built.
The pyramids were capped with gold. I wonder if if lightning was hitting, they were like lightning rods, and they were catching it with water inside and then charging the water and creating a large battery.
It doesn't make sense.
How so? Why would you think of that?
How would you hold the charge of electricity in water?
Well, you could store it in like a vinegar or acid of some sort in a metal rod. Like a metal rod, like the Baghdad battery, but like a large one.
I don't think you know
or 7,000.
Do you know how batteries work?
Baghdad battery is a clay pot filled with like vinegar with an iron rod. I think it's an iron rod. Copper rod wrapped with iron wire or iron cordage.
And how does it generate a current? And what is a current?
A current is electrons traveling along the substrate.
So if the current from the lightning bolt goes into the water, how does the current keep moving?
Yeah, you need some sort of
it discharges.
A form to have it move along. So like
so
a wire,
wouldn't be able
a wire
to
or something. Well, they could have, I mean, there's no torch marks.
I thought you needed a ground wire.
It would complete
the circuit.
The way batteries work is it's a chemical process, basically. It's not like there's a energy. The energy captured is a chemical process. And so I'm not going to break down the finer points of anodes and cathodes and all that stuff, but it creates an electron jumping over, you know, between, that's the current you're getting. Lightning striking something is not creating you can't charge things off lightning strikes because you can't track the voltage, the amperage, the power of the lightning strike. It's unpredictable.
Haven't seen Back to the Future before?
Doesn't work.
Yes, it does.
No.
Doc just went back into outer space, bro. went back in time.
So when
do you know
charging,
Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Okay.
When you're charging a battery, you're reversing the chemical process, And it has to be precise. Mm. We need to know how many amps there are. So like when we're hooking up the trailer, it's a 50 amp outlet. And then it's like, you know, you've got, if you've ever gone to like European countries and you're looking at the outlet on the wall, the weirdest thing about Europe is they have American power outlets that are like 120 volts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just for like shavers, I guess.
Mm.
But you can plug your stuff and it worked. I charged my phone off it. Anyway, the point is, that wouldn't work. But the other thing too is, if you believe in modern history, we know how the pyramids were built. There's inner chambers. They would slide the blocks from the inside and they would drop them one at a time, going up and then slowly going higher and higher. I guess the question is, how did they move the blocks, dragging them?
In water.
The moving isn't the hard part.
Well, yeah, water channels, but also they said
floated
they could,
them.
The yeah. lack of mortar is the mystery.
Well, no, they just drop into place. What do you mean?
But it's so like keenly cut. Like when they talk about like you can't even fit a paper through, they're still trying to figure out how can you put the bricks together.
I don't
so precise.
They might have had like a metal shaving unit that was electric, tapped to a Baghdad battery. That would just like hits it like and they could chisel real fine flat.
I don't think it's that complicated. You take a look at you ever see those statues in like ancient Rome or whatever? And it's like a woman, she has a fishing net on her, and the detail is so perfect, you'd assume she saw Medusa or something. Mm. Like, how did they do the fishing net so perfectly?
Mm.
Yeah, cause they just know how to, you know, cut away at stuff and take water on a rag and just smooth things out. And it took a lot of work and it took a lot of time.
Mm.
But the question is, why are there so many pyramids? Mm. It was the easiest thing to engineer, stacking blocks on top of each other. And then all you got to do is smooth them out. That's not hard. You rub two rocks together, they're going to start smoothing out.
Mm.
Yeah, and then it's just ordinary human ingenuity.
You know what I love? Like, the like absolute racism of ancient aliens. Because they go to Central America and they're like, how could this giant rock have been moved? And then you see like the ancient cultures and they're like, well, we can move the rocks. No. Aliens
did it.
Certainly these humans could not have figured out how to move giant rocks.
Yeah, normally I don't jump to conclusions and I'm pretty skeptical, but when I look at like Roman technology, you're talking about the fineness of the crafting, then you see all their marble is all white. And it's like, okay, they didn't just build white statues. They painted that stuff, but the paint wore off. So what else is worn away that we don't see?
Yeah.
This is like, I don't normally go down these roads because I don't know, but I imagine that just assuming that they did it with stones and pieces of copper is kind of like, we know they had batteries. There's no fire marks in the pyramids.
Mm.
They didn't use torches in there. So they were using something to light that. It's not fire.
And there are weird pictures that appear to show like an object with like beams of light coming out of it.
Yeah, the Ark might have been a battery, like a large Baghdad battery. And they said if you touched it, it would like hurt you. Mm. So it might have just been a massive current.
Well,
running through the thing.
Ian, obviously that was ancient alien technology that was left behind that humans accidentally discovered.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. It's formed by the Biden administration.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. See, Biden's actually a 5,000-year-old lizard.
That makes sense. No, he's an octopus.
From the moon. The moon.
he's an octopus. Brain octopus.
The moon is actually the Ark, and that's why it's always facing the Earth.
Filled with vinegar.
That proves it. Filled with vinegar.
Yeah. You know about the moon people?
No. What about the moon people?
There's people on the
moon. Tell me about the moon people.
There's people on the moon, man. Told us not to come back, man.
Oh. No.
Yeah. That's why nobody has been able to do anything remotely successful with the moon.
Have you guys seen that movie Moonfall?
I meant to watch it on a flight. How was that?
It's really dumb.
Is it? I that's why I didn't watch it. I'm like, it's probably going to be like, stupid.
Yeah, it's really dumb. You know, I'm going to spoil it. Spoiler alert for people. Seriously, you don't want to hear this if you plan on seeing the movie because it's a big spoiler.
Mm.
All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The moon is the Ark.
Mm.
And human civilization was from another planet that was destroyed by an AI that they created.
Mm-hmm.
So then they escaped and started building moons that would terraform and create worlds for humans to be reborn on.
Mm.
The AI destroyed most of them, but one escaped, and it's our moon. And then the AI finds the moon and is destroying it, so the moon starts falling to Earth.
Mm.
So they go to the moon and then fight the AI nanobots.
Mm.
And then, like, inside the moon, spaceships.
Get ready for, like, a million
movies that.
Like that, too.
I believe that.
You know what's weird?
I believe that is closer to the truth than the pyramids were built by aliens, right? Because, you know, they said that they say the moon's hollow, right? Like if you ping it or something, they say it's hollow. So it's a spaceship. I know that.
That's what they think.
Yes.
And so the idea is the reason it looks rocky and everything is because over, you know, the billions of years, it's collected dust that's piled up.
Mm.
And so like the idea in the movie was that the moon was a spaceship that that gathered mass and then created Earth and then seeded life on it and then eventually seeded human life on it. And then over billions of years, this giant metal sphere got covered with dust and then pelted with rocks and looks like it's covered in rocks.
Yeah. One of my ancestors has a face on the moon. Did you see that? Did you see the face on the moon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Well, a long time ago. That was your buddy?
That was one of my ancestors,
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we're...
Like, they just put their face, like, right in the dust and then came back up and...
No, it's actually the opposite. One of my ancestors was buried on the moon. He was a giant, and his face is, like, sticking out of it. If you Google face on the moon, you'll see his face pop up. And he looks just like me.
Because there's no wind erosion, so it just stands.
Yeah, it's just there. Mm. Yeah.
What gets me is how all these planets have moons, but we have the moon.
Like, we have the moon, yeah. See, there it goes. That's the face moon. That's one of my ancestors.
It's not a very normal moon.
This? Yeah. This guy right here.
No, not that. Not that guy. That one right there.
This one right here.
Yeah, that's my ancestor.
You know, that's just, people just see faces. You know what I mean?
Do they?
They do.
I think we may have evolved to look like this because we stared out into space and we've become what we see.
Mm.
You see, like, every once in a while you see, like, this weird cosmological image of, like, an eye. It looks like an eyeball, like, with, like, the fibers going out. But you see it's like a supernova or like a quasar or something. Let me see.
But he's actually, like, in our family tree. Like, we've traced back our lineage to the moon people. That's why I know about the moon people. I'm not supposed to tell you this.
Do you think there are hollow Earth people?
Well, that's where the command center is.
No.
Inside the center of the moon, not the Earth.
The Earth.
But I know about hollow
Earth. Not the Earth.
The Earth.
No, that's the Biden people.
The Earth is flat.
And hollow.
Like a donut.
Mm.
And in the middle is where the Illuminati is.
Dude, it's the Helix Nebula. You gotta look this.
What is this?
It's called the Helix Nebula. Now, okay.
Uh-oh.
Eyeballs. You wanna say, looking at a human eyeball. Look at this thing.
Mm.
Maybe there are more than one Helix Nebulae out there, but this is like, this is what an eyeball looks like.
I mean,
what's the definition
like
of a nebula again? Wasn't it like an exploded galaxy or exploded black?
A nebula.
What is it again? A nebula?
Planetary nebula. Yeah, double helix nebula.
Distinct body of interstellar clouds.
Is it post-explosion or
ionized gas ejected from a red giant star?
Yes. Okay, yes. So it's post-explosion.
To answer your question, Mary, I think there are people living in the hollow Earth. I think that Earth, because there's this planet Theia, this theory that, like, I don't know, it was 4 billion years ago, when the solar system was formed, the sun ejaculated all this rock and just spit like 28 planetoids out. They started smashing into each other. Mm. One of them went through Earth, came out the other end and cooled down and became the moon. But if that really happened and a planet collided with us, then we're not solid on the inside. There's going to be fractures and rips and openings and tears. So, to say that there's no life down there would be insane. An insane
in the interior of the Earth.
Yeah. Whether or not it's humans, I don't personally
think. Aren't they called something? I forget what they're
dinosaurs.
Called.
The conspiracy theory is that lizard people live in the Earth deep, deep, deep underground because there was a very intelligent species of dinosaur. And then when the meteor or whatever came down and wiped everybody out, they escaped underground and survived. Mm. And they can't survive on the surface because they've adapted to a low light environment.
Mm.
So the sun would cause damage to them.
Mm.
So that's why 8 stories beneath the Denver airport is it's the port between the surface world where we are and the lizard people world where they are.
Mm.
Now we can go down there. We just need instruments to see better, but they can't come up here. So they have to rule from the shadows.
Mm. What do they eat?
I don't
psilocybin.
Know.
That's why they're so intelligent.
So let me get this straight. There are lizard people 8 stories beneath the Earth, and they only eat mushrooms.
Mm.
And they're just tripping.
You don't have much hunger when you're on mushrooms.
Some people think there are feral cannibals living in our national parks.
Yo, you know, like, people live underground in New York? This is a true story. So the lizard stuff, obviously, I'm screwing around. But in New York, there are people who live in the old subway tunnels.
Oh, yeah.
And this is true. So during this, like, Occupy protest in Grand Central, some woman apparently came up and she was like, hey, what's going on? They're like, oh, there's a protest. And they were like, you got to get out of here because the cops are going to find us. And they go underground and they live in the underground tunnels.
Genius.
Like under the subway? In the old
like
city
old tunnels and like under them.
Yeah, it's
Vegas
natural.
Too.
I think your theory about cataclysm on the surface forcing lizards to go underground is
it's
not that
far not my theory. I don't actually think that's true.
Oh, that's, but it's a good.
I just read weird stuff online. If it's fun
because where would they go? Either they're all going to die or they're going to go underground.
Well, that's Demolition Man, right? Like Demolition Man had the people living underground.
Demolition Man?
Yeah, the movie.
That's Sylvester Stallone?
No.
Well, there were people. They weren't lizards, but they were people forced to live underground.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and I think that's where the future's headed. Like, if you're a conservative Republican, you're going to live in the sewers. And
Cranky Tubin says, I'm not drunk enough for the show tonight.
When you lose one sense, that your other senses become more powerful. So maybe as their vision dips, their sixth sense, an ability to mind manipulate their surroundings, has advanced.
Yo, I got to read this one. Me says, whoa, parts of this conversation is what happens when you roll 18 for intelligence and 3 for wisdom.
Yeah, I love playing characters like that.
Nailed it. All right, we got to go to Super Chats. If you haven't already, would you kindly smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show, head over to TimCast.com, become a member, support our work. Let's read what y'all have to say. All right, Dominic Camarada says, I still remember you breaking down the slave theory on JRE. With artifacts being located from AZ to the hills in Ohio, it makes you wonder.
What's that?
What's that?
Well, they basically try to say that black people are the descendants of slaves. And I'm like, nah, we were here. We are the natives. And the people who claim to be natives are culturally appropriating us.
What is that? Like, you mean like Native Americans?
Yeah, the Native Americans are black people from Africa.
Like the Atlantis culture, their skin would have been darker toned because they had so much sun. Mm. They have North African culture. They could have easily populated the Americas.
Yeah. I mean, all you got to do is read the letter from from Christopher Columbus to D. Saint Angel, and he'll tell you all about it.
All right. Ginger Jack says, Tim, are you still opening that comic game store? I need a venue that won't pull authoritarian nonsense on me so I can run a D&D game or vampire LARP to network in Best Virginia before moving. We found a building. We're going to open a skate shop, venue, game store. Mm. So we're going to have skate stuff. We're going to have all the stuff you'll need. Probably it's even big enough to actually have an area to skate. So maybe in the winter, there's like a ledge and a rail. Sign a waiver, pay a couple bucks, come in, hang out. Have fun, but then we're also going to have gaming, cards, probably do Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, what else, Pokemon, whatever.
Yeah. Vampire the Masquerade, he was saying. You guys ever play that one?
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever D&D?
I played things like it.
What are your favorite character types to play?
Let's see. Mutants. I like mutants.
Did you play Aberrant?
Nah, I played, Heroes? Legend of Heroes? I forget what it was, but it's very similar. You roll your character to figure out, you know.
We're going to do all that. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, mutants are nice.
It's going to be fun. And we're planning on doing like family gathering Saturday mornings where the idea is to do Saturday morning cartoons.
Okay.
Because they don't really exist anymore.
Right.
Do an event where we have like breakfast for parents. The parents can hang out, do mimosas or Bloody Marys or whatever, but the kids can watch like approved cartoons that families think are okay, and then just meet your neighbors, hang out, build community, all that good stuff.
DuckTales.
DuckTales. There you go.
DuckTales.
Or, you know, Elite. To be honest, we'll watch Chip Elite. Chiller, whatever it's called, the Daily Wire's launching. Cool. We'll watch some of that.
That's dope. DuckTales was my dream.
I mean, Scrooge, just the character arc built into the man.
Just, he's my real uncle.
Yeah, I learned at an early age you can't dive into gold for real because it'll crush your skull.
I've burned so many brain cells trying to figure out how that was possible.
Yeah. All right. Jeffrey Max says, Tim, please create teaser trailers for your member podcast. For example, a short clip from last night's show of Ian cussing about Biden. Bleep it, and it would get people signing up. Add more bleeps for comic effect. We could do that. We got a lot of stuff in the works, man. It just takes a long time to do everything. So right now, we're working on a piece of critical infrastructure, which is going to be a huge announcement, hopefully next week, taking a while. Then we've got to start designing everything. The goal is smart TV apps, phone apps. Hopefully by this time next year, you will be, as a member at TimCast.com, pulling up the app and seeing a bunch of different shows. And we're going for, to start, lower budget, authenticity, because it's really what we can afford. But I'm really excited for Tales from the Inverted World. These episodes are like 45 minutes to an hour long of breaking down this real investigation, true stories of this Shane Cashman who went down to Georgia looking for the lost Confederate gold. Someone threatened to kill him, skin him alive. Creepy stuff. It's like Hunter S. Thompson meets the X-Files. But we're also going to be doing a talk show with him once a week. So not only do you get the full season, which is going to be like 13 episodes, you'll then get a weekly show of more of a podcast talk show. In a creepy setting. We're building a studio in a haunted house. We're doing such cool stuff. Hopefully within the next 5 years, we're going to have our own Game of Thrones. We're going to have our own movies. And we'll be doing all that really cool stuff. So I'm really excited for that. We got a lot of work to do. All right, let's grab some more super chats. T-Craft says, happy Friday. Let's change the world one podcast at a time. You know it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really, we have a, potentially like a self-help show kind of thing.
Mm.
You know, we got some cool stuff in the works, man. It's going to be fun.
You guys know what cymatics are?
No, what's that?
It's cymatics?
Yeah, cymatics.
Yeah.
It's how sound, what they do is they'll put like salt on a vibrating membrane and then they'll change the frequency of the vibration and then you'll see the salt will like change form. There's videos of it on YouTube. It's really cool. And I was talking to Ben Stewart and I was like, I had a horrible depression from like 2009 to 2017. He was like, maybe it's like cymatics, like as a human species, we were in that state of chaos and we still may be coming out of it and kind of reforming, talking about changing the world with a podcast.
Mm. Yeah, Emoto Masaru or Masaru Emoto, he was one of the pioneers in some of the cymatic work.
Oh, cool. We talked about that guy last week, I think.
Yeah. All right, we got DV Velasco says, hi, Tim from Arizona. Just became a member yesterday. Had to hear the After Hours segment with Carrie Lake, for whom I'm voting for governor. Love the show. Great guests and discussions. If you guys should check this one out. Carrie Lake, we talked about the election. We talked about 2020. We talked about what she wants to do and what she thinks happened. And if you want to hear about all that, timcast.com, it is up right now on the homepage. Check it out. Check it out. Become a member. I really want to, you know, I'll say this. The more shows we produce, the less money we make per show, right? Obviously, it costs money to put a video up and have you watch it. And if we give, you know, 50 shows for 10 bucks a month, the same thing, then we're spending way more money to deliver content. We're making way less. But hopefully, more people then sign up, and we can keep expanding and expanding. The margins get smaller and smaller, but volume increases, so you eventually make more money. And then the goal, ultimately, for me, what I want to see is good content, fun shows, honest conversations, and pushing back on how the corporate culture has started expanding, how wokeness has infected everything. The Daily Wire is doing their thing as well, so I'm a huge fan. We have a slightly different corporate culture and vibe than they do, but we agree on a ton. So there's a huge overlap. So I'm, you know, similar to what they're doing, but with a different style, as it were. So, all right, let's read some more. Ness B says, Hotep Jesus needs to bring Uncle Hotep with him next time. You guys rock.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we got to do that. Absolutely. That's the homie. Shout out to Uncle Hotep.
All right. Sergeant Mango Garcia says, I normally listen to Friday's show on Mondays. Got on just to leave the super chat. Factory fires are common. Catastrophic damage that impacts production is not common. Small fires are often put out before things get bad.
Mm.
Interesting.
Mm. They probably have massive protocol in those facilities for that, too.
Mm.
That are probably hard to miss.
Pardaxilus says, Mary is an all-star. Keep her on IRL.
Thank you very much.
Well, we'll have her on every so often. You know, she got to host her own show. Got pop culture crisis to deal with. Michael says, Tim, Joe Biden may be on meth. You can be prescribed methamphetamine under the brand name Desoxin. Is that true?
I'm going to look that up.
Look that up. Ian, pull that up.
Desoxin oral.
What is it? What's the chemical composition? Is it meth?
Yeah. Well, it says, so Reddit says it is, yeah, ADHD medicine.
Oh, yeah, Reddit, definitely.
All right. Beastly Devil says, Tim, I just watched a reaction channel watching the season finale of The Boys. And they were reeling over the final minutes of said finale as it conflates the crowd's behavior to a MAGA crowd. Yo, have you guys watched The Boys?
Mm-mm. I have not.
Yes. I've seen a little bit
of it. I loved the ending of the last episode.
Mm.
Should I spoil it?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to spoil it. Heads up, I am going to spoil it. Warning, warning, warning. I'm trying to be as nice as possible. Spoiler alert for the last episode of The Boys. All right, now. You know what it's about, right?
No.
So it's like it's supposed to be a mockery of superhero shows. Not really a mockery, but like it's a more real version of what superheroes would be like reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's basically the Justice League. Mm. Homelander, he's basically Superman. He's got laser vision. He can fly. The Deep is basically Aquaman. And Maeve is basically Wonder Woman. But they're all just like such awful people. So Homelander, they basically made into Trump.
Mm.
So they decided to just roll with it. He was like dating a Nazi and it's like, it's really dumb. But the end of, you guys, spoiler alert, mute it because here it comes. What's happened is at the, Homelander accuses Starlight, another superhero, of trafficking children.
Mm.
And they make it sound like, you know, Hillary and he's Trump. But like, he's lying to you. And they have a guy, he's a TV show, it's basically Tucker Carlson. And they're like, it's all lies. And then you end up with, a Me Too crowd who are like, save Maeve, Me Too, hashtag Me Too. And then a bunch of people saying like, you know, shut up Snowflake signs, and that like they're big into Homelander. In the end, Homelander, spoiler, here it comes. Homelander is introducing his son to the crowd of the Patriots or whatever they call it. He calls them his Patriots or whatever. And then a leftist wearing a Me Too shirt throws a bottle and hits his son in the face. Mm. And then Homelander just snaps and blows his head up. Mm. And then all the Patriot people look. And then one guy goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they'll go, yeah. And they'll start cheering for him having murdered a leftist. And I just thought it was hilarious. I was like,
oh my God, that's on TV.
That's on TV. Wow. These people are just like, the show was trying to emulate what's going on now.
Mm. In a self-aware way?
No, no. I mean, it is actually kind of funny the way they depict everything, but they really do try to make Trump the bad guy. Mm. But like, they then jump way beyond where we are now, showing the Trumpian character just murdering a leftist activist, like in cold blood in front of everyone, and that's, they cheer for it. And I'm just like, you know, these people lost their minds. This is crazy.
If you could have one superpower, what would you have?
Oh, I don't know, man. Define what you mean by one superpower.
You only get one. You don't get two. Like, you can't fly and shoot lasers out of your eyes. Oh, I love Dr. Strange.
But see, he can do
everything. That's a lot of power.
That's cheating. Yeah.
No, he's one superhero, and his power is the mystic arts.
I would stop time. Other than myself.
Exactly. That's the perfect one.
Time manipulation?
Yeah.
Nah, that makes no sense, because
I already thought like a million things in that moment when you paused, because I stopped you for a second. That's
what, he paused. He has all the responses.
So what happens when you move with time stopped?
Well, like Quicksilver, you can never truly stop time. I can only slow time.
You would disintegrate
time.
Then.
I would slow everything else to a very, very small.
And then you would disintegrate.
No, I'd move through it like a slipstream. That would be the name of my hero too, slipstream.
And then what would you do with that?
Move people around, save people, go places.
They would explode.
What would you do with
Why
vitamin?
Would they explode?
Friction.
No, but do you know I wouldn't, because I can slip through it. But other people would.
So
if they tried.
If you were super fast like Quicksilver or the Flash, and you walked up to someone and moved their arm, you would see their skin would stay. Mm. There's atmospheric friction. So if you tap them and make them move, you'd see like their skin ripple and start to get ripped apart.
But he has the superpower for that. None of those reactions. That's like his
other people.
I can move it all around.
But he can manipulate it. That's like part of his superpower.
That's multiple superpowers. Come on. What are you doing?
Slow and stop time. This would be my ideal for other people and myself. So if I needed to move you through it with me, I could.
What would your
power I always
be?
Thought that was
you
the best
You can't pick
one.
The same one. You can't.
Oh, come
cheating.
On.
You got to be able to like have super.
Okay. Other than that, invisibility.
Invisibility.
That's amazing.
I just want to spy on people.
You're going to walk around naked? What about your clothes?
Your clothes disappear too.
No, that's two powers.
But then they reappear when you appear.
I can make people's clothes disappear.
What is it about Doctor Strange that entices you?
Because he can do anything.
Doctor Strange is dope.
He's the most powerful superhero.
You can't name a hero, but what would be your power?
Mastery of the mystic arts?
It's hardcore, dude.
Define
it
that.
Is hardcore.
What about you, Brian?
So, I love Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange can control the source code of the universe.
Mm. Can he really?
Yes.
Dang.
Yep.
Can someone else like control it against him with the same ability?
That's when they fight.
I see.
Right.
Like when they're fighting, they're you know. That's what in the movie. That's what the
yeah,
ancient
what was
said.
That called? The movie that came, the new Doctor Strange movie.
Multiverse of Madness.
In the first one, she says they're spells, but if that offends your modern sensibilities, you can call it a program. Mm. He's basically writing universal programs. Mm. So you can write a program to execute in the universe. You could do whatever you wanted.
Yeah, when the Infinity Gauntlet fell into the hands of Thanos, Adam Warlock went to Doctor Strange. He's like, I need to contact a human. Strange is the guy.
Adrian Curry says, I'd be Dr. Manhattan, hands down. Mm. Yo, it's a legit power, but His attachment to reality is fractured because he can see forward and backwards in time.
Mm. I don't know how he keeps it together.
I don't know. Let's read some more Super Chats. Good question, though. All right. What do we got going on? Anyway, yeah, check out I think The Boys is great. Miss Marvel's a terrible show. It's even worse.
Go off.
Remember when I complained about how they won't shut up about Partition?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The latest episode is literally just like a Partition documentary. Mm. I'm like,
you're still watching.
I turned it off.
And what's Partition?
When they in India, and I learned this from watching Ms. Marvel, the British separated India into Pakistan and India to move the Muslims into Pakistan and everyone else, and then it created a whole bunch of problems.
Right.
And that's what they taught me. And then she goes back in time for some reason. She Ms. Marvel goes back in time, and now she's like in Partition, And now it's just about two characters experiencing partition. And I'm like, Yeah, I kind of wanted to see a girl who can make her hand really big punch a bank robber. Mm. I didn't want to learn about British colonial history.
When you phrased it, you were like, the boys is great and Miss Marvel is even worse. Like, do you mean great? Like, it's so bad, it's good?
It's, I actually really like the boys. And the politicizing of it is so bad, it's hilarious. Mm. But I think Carl Urban, he's Billy the Butcher. He's a great character.
Oh yeah, he's from Star Trek, from that Star Trek movie.
He was in Lord of the Rings. He's a bunch
Urban,
of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just thought that like the boys is a good. It's worth watching. Mm. But the political stuff is just so hammed up. Oh man. Mm. All right. Let's see what we got here. We'll grab some more super chats.
I was listening to a movie once and I heard them like sound bite in. It's Trump's fault. I think it was the movie something in Slim, where the black couple like kill a cop or something, and now they're on the run. And I heard him put a sound bite in because some cop killed a boy in the movie, and they're like, it's Trump's fault. And I'm like, yo, y'all just inserted a sound bite.
Queen and Slim,
there you go, yeah. I was like, wow.
Like, they put it in the movie?
Sometimes hammed up political stuff can be funny, like though. Like, Get Out.
Like, I liked Get Out. That's different. That's funny. It's hilarious. But yeah, like, I just don't like when they do it like that. I pay attention to the insertions, and like, in between a scene change, it just says, it's Trump's fault. And I'm like, I heard that.
Whoa. Are you not supposed to hear it, or is it like
subliminal? It's very quick and subliminal. It's supposed to be like weird. Edging like you that. To not like Trump, and it's like, this has nothing. It's a movie. It's a fictional movie. It has nothing to do with Trump. Like, how did that even end up in there?
This is all right.
I wonder whether like movies should acknowledge that COVID happened.
All right. The Chronicles of Chris says, another fun fact about communism to add to Hotep's wisdom: capitalism is actually financial communism. Read the libertarianism.org article, Should Libertarians Abandon the Word Capitalism?
Yeah, I've said that in the past because they're the ones that popularized it. Capitalism is definitely a socialist word.
All right. Stephen Bachmeyer says, Tim, I will subscribe to TimCast when you have an actual Bible scholar on. It's exhausting listening to Roman conspiracies and wrong history. Mike Winger, Inspiring Philosophy, Os Guinness, anyone?
Hmm.
I mean,
I have suggestions in mind
for biblical scholars.
Yes.
Yeah. I love listening to biblical scholars.
You know what we should do? We should get like I have an idea. We'll do a members only segment with a theologian and biblical scholar talking to Ian.
You got to get a Hebrew Israelite.
Have Scott Hahn on the show.
No, you got to do a Hebrew Israelite if you want to break the internet.
We
you know about the Hebrew Israelites?
Of course,
Yeah. You want to break the internet? Get somebody like Captain Tazariak on. Crash.
Sweet. I'm down. Let's. So we're talking about other shows we can do. Obviously, this show is. It's not like Rogan. You know, Rogan sits down with one on one and just talks.
Yeah.
We're topical news with a guest.
Right.
So it's like we have the crew. We have the guest who comes in, and we mix a little of their world with the comedy,
which
news.
Is brilliant. Yeah.
And then we're thinking about what we could do for like Sunday shows. Figuring out a way to film is hard because I already work 16 hours Monday through Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday is when I can do like administrative stuff. But we were thinking about doing like deep debates and heavy conversations as a members only show. Mm. I shouldn't call it members only anymore because we're expanding it to just be like website exclusives. But one of the ideas could be having like a black Hebrew Israelite with like a rabbi.
Mm. Damn, you going that hard? Jesus. Oh, my God.
I would love that, man. Love that.
Yeah, I think we could easily get started by having like a biblical scholar talk to Ian.
Yeah.
And just
do
a conversation. I think it would be fascinating. I think it would be intelligent, respectful, and very like...
My homie Chad's brother, I interviewed him. He's one of those guys. It's like Evan Lemoyne. He does sexual consultation with Christians who think that having sex is bad and against the Bible. And he's like, no, this is good and you're allowed to copulate and so on and so forth. Yeah.
I like this black Hebrew Israelite thing. I've never really heard much about it.
Oh, it's amazing. It's such a phenomenon.
So the belief that the Israelite North African descendants are of the Israel. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right. Let's grab a couple more here. What do we got here? Liberty or Death says there is no physical description of Jesus in the Bible. He was born to a Judean mother in a backwater town in Israel. We can guess at his ethnic appearance, but that's not important. He's the savior.
He was born into the Essenian community, and I wouldn't call it backwater. Jesus was upper middle class.
Upper middle class.
Upper middle class. He lived a good life.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
They try to say, oh, he was born in a manger and he was poor. And now he's born in the Essenian community. E-S-S-E-N-I-A-N or something like that.
All right. We got Oscar, who says, my father always told me of his time in Cuba. There was no stress, no worry about the hustle and bustle. They had to work hard, but they just spent time with family and enjoyed life.
Till the communistas came around.
Yep. And then people got really upset about it. Dimsum Nimsum says, Harrison Bergeron, read the book or watch the movie. Dystopia where government actively makes people average. Also, Rome was in Brittany and close to France. White Jesus is very possible.
Yeah, Rome got all the way up there in England at some point. To Hadrian's Wall. Hadrian, I think that was the Roman emperor.
Yeah.
Built that wall between England and Scotland. Because couldn't conquer the Scots, man. They have too many mountains.
Yeah.
Sparky says octopi could develop a different tech paradigm.
That's what I believe.
I was thinking about, like, maybe they could go down to, like, volcanic vents. And then use something to, like...
water weapons.
Yeah.
And if you could neural net their brains, if they have nine together, brains.
Yeah.
Imagine just walking down the street and just... all of a sudden, you get hit with a water balloon. Damn, goddamn octopi.
It's begun.
You can test Neuralink on octopi before humans.
I would love to do that.
Do not do that. Is that please? Ethical? Why are you giving these people ideas? That's going to lead to our demise.
Doing it to like chimps, right?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, but not the octopi. I'm scared of them.
We would need them to.
Nine extra brains to test on.
Yeah. Condone it. Is that the right word?
Mm. Yellow Fluffy Feather says, Tim, you need a call-in show.
Mm.
We're talking about it. Here's a challenge. I can only do so much. You know, it's like I do a morning show. It takes like 8 hours. I do the nightly show, which takes a little bit less time. Timcast IRL works because I spend all day reading the news for my morning show. And then I just read hundreds of articles every day. It's kind of ridiculous. Or I should say I skim through hundreds of articles and then read a couple dozen.
Do you do that every day?
Do what?
Every day? Do you do that every day when you work?
Every day.
What people have to understand is once you get to Tim Pool's level, you can do anything. So it's like you have to look through the list of anything and go, okay, I'll pick and do this, right? Because
anybody can do anything.
Well, yes, exactly. But Tim Cool can do it.
Yeah, but you
could
like pay to fly people to a place and have a building erected and like that level of like financial success and freedom.
Yeah, he can. So, but it becomes harder because there's things that, you know, people come to me and they're like, why haven't you done this? I'm like, I can do a lot of different things. It's just like, what do I want to do out of all of this list of things you can do? And that goes, like you said, it goes for anybody. Anybody can learn anything. It's like, but what are you going to learn? What are you going to build?
I think we're really close. I shouldn't say really close, but we're in the preliminary stages of doing this Sunday special show, the special Sunday show, which is going to be like debates. It's going to be like debates. So, for example, having a religious scholar on talk with Ian or something is kind of the idea to bring people of like different worldviews to sit down and talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And the question we're asking right now is moderated or unmoderated?
Moderated.
You think moderated?
Absolutely.
I would moderate it if you don't want to.
But, because what we don't want is like if we get a communist and a capitalist to then start yelling at each other.
Yes, the yelling is.
But that's not what we're aiming for is like.
Content.
Like, so.
Information.
So, not getting culture warriors, getting scholars. So, you'll get someone who's like well read on Marx and communist literature to be like, yes, 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 I know, but what you're forgetting is, and the capitalist guy can be like, when you look at every example. And then end with a handshake and be like, man, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Or to have like an atheist talk with a religious scholar. But I got to be honest. Like in these examples, I'll tell you my bias. The communist scholar is going to be smart. They're going to know a lot about communism. And the capitalist is going to run circles around them.
Mm-hmm.
Or the libertarian. Mm-hmm. You do an atheist and a theologian, and the theologian is going to run circles around them.
Yeah.
Like people who's I'll just put it as my bias. You know, based on the things I've read. And my experiences, I've seen so many people who, like on the left, don't know anything about economics. Like AOC has a degree and she doesn't even know what capitalism means.
Yeah.
Or she's lying.
Yeah.
And then you talk to people who are atheists and they're like, I've not actually read any of this and I don't know any about it. And it's like, okay, so you're an atheist. I get it. That's fine. But how can you argue against something you didn't actually read? You don't even know what you're arguing against.
Yeah.
So it's
Maybe it wouldn't be Ian. Maybe it would be a...
No, Ian's good because he got the hippie, weird DMT view of the world. So having him talk with a religious scholar would be really interesting.
I can admit, I'm pretty good at listening. I don't necessarily... I'm kind of ignorant about a lot of stuff, but I can listen to two people talk, and if they start to miscommunicate, I can see why, and then enlighten them where they're each missing, and then kind of get it back.
I can teach econ in really fast, right? So there's two types of econ. You got econ 101, which is must be taught, and you must go to Thomas Sowell. But econ 201 is a really short course. It basically says don't touch anything.
All right, let's we'll grab a couple more here.
Don't touch it.
Arashi Yoshida said, my power would be called Save Point. It's the power to go back and relive my life over and over again while retaining my knowledge, constantly learning.
But could you stay?
Save Point.
Could you stay good? Because wouldn't you do evil things if you could just go back? Like, could you stay sane if you were constantly?
Like when you're playing Skyrim, and then like the bartender says something mean, and you go like, save.
F5.
Yeah.
Save. Quick save.
And quick save, like, yeah.
Let's
yeah.
see what happens if I just slice like, his head off. Oh, that happens. Okay, let me go back to that save point.
That's a good power. Save state.
That's really interesting.
You could save a state in time and then always jump back to it if you wanted.
But what if you needed a friend to load state? So you guys had to work together forever.
Well, that's not a good power.
That'd be
stupid
annoying.
Power. Yeah. But if you had you could save an endless number of states and just place it wherever you wanted, and then you could like pull up the chart and look at every different save point and be like, I'm gonna go back to when I was a little kid.
My boss at Burger King would be a save point for me. It's like, you know what? What'd you just say? Save. do over.
Wait,
how old were you in that?
Hold on.
16. Yeah.
Helfinator says, never take time travel power. Before you know it, you'll go back to do something altruistic, but somehow accidentally cause your mom to fall in love with you instead of your dad, and thus erase yourself from existence.
That was back to the
but
one.
Save state is only within your timeline. So I'm going to be like, see El Toro? El Toro, famous 20-stair handrail, for those that don't know. I'm going to do a 360 flip. I'm going to do a big flip back nose blunt. And then you save state, and you go for it. And then right as you're falling, you just load state.
Right.
Back up at top, and you're like, I'm going to keep doing it until I get it first try.
Exactly.
Adrian Curry says, you could save your loved ones from cancer with a save point. You'd know it was coming to warn them.
And they develop a stronger kind of cancer.
All right, let's grab one more. We got Chaba Chew says, I'm a big fan of the channel, guys. Thanks for doing what y'all do. I live in Maine, and we all just got $850 worth of printed money, so I thought I'd share some with you guys. All right.
Yay.
My friends, we are going to sit in deep thought about which superpowers we want and then how to attain them. So if you haven't already, would you kindly smash that like button? Subscribe to this channel. Share the show with your friends. Become a member at timcast.com if you would like to fund our mission to become superheroes. I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen. But you can help support the development of content and culture. And we really do appreciate it. My goal is not to be saying help us build a mission or fulfill the mission, but hopefully with the next several months, we'll just be saying more of, we have a ton of shows to offer you. Please consider buying them. That's what it's all about, free market solutions. So become a member at TimCast.com, smash the like button, follow us at TimCastIRL, follow me at TimCast. Hotep, you want to shout anything out?
I say things on YouTube. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Hotep Jesus. If you like it, stick around. If you don't like it, please don't be mean to me, because people are so mean on the internet.
You're right.
That's all I got.
If you want to see me more often, you should go follow me on Instagram or WeChat at Closer Kitty. And I also demand that you go find Pop Culture Crisis on YouTube and subscribe. We go live at 3 p.m. Eastern and noon Pacific time every Monday through Friday. And I expect to see you there on Monday in the chat.
I am Ian Crossland. You can follow me at iancrossland.net. Get in touch with me on social media through that. And one time I woke up and I saw my phone was in front of me and I saw infrared light. And it looked like I felt my mind bend and the light went into the, like, as I lost the perceptive capability, that it looked like the light was like going into, I was just losing it. But you can see, you can become a mutant of sorts if you want. Superheroing is not out of the question.
Well, all right.
Thank you guys for tuning in to this fun night with Hotep Jesus. You always know with this gentleman, it is going to be a spicy evening. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Minds.com at SourPatchLids, as well as SourPatchLids.me.
Check out Cast Castle. Go to YouTube.com/CastCastle. Watch our Silly Shenanigans show. We've got Jamie Kilstein, who's helping. He's been writing jokes, and we're trying to make a semi-fictionalized version of everything that goes on here because we're making more and more content. And then we've also got another big plan in the works with Freedomistan, where we're going to be doing action sports kind of shenanigans with skateboarding, scooters, bikes, rollerblades, probably baseballs, basketballs, and other craziness. So check it all out. YouTube.com/castcastle. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see y'all next time.
Bye, guys.